نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Towards the future, mm-hmm. and our eyes looking towards the past. The Bible, as we do from the Christian standpoint of view. And by that I mean, when I say standpoint of view, I mean where we stand mm-hmm. and how we look at it.
Right.
Now, we're standing in between the Quran or Quran of the Muslims or Mohammedan
mm-hmm.
and the Torah or the Tanakh of the original Hebrews or Israelites.
Right.
We're standing in between, and our view is that we have our back towards the future
mm-hmm.
and our eyes looking towards the past.
Mm-hmm.
You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
And when we deal with the Lord Jesus Christ and we refer to Him as Lord, we oftentimes make...
Enjoy live TV with...
This series of tapes, Inflammation versus Misformation, were recorded from classes given this year by Guy Malachi Ziyork, known to us as the Supreme Grand Master Naya Malachi Zodek El, our own Pharaoh, Amenubi Ruakatar. And now, listen with an open mind and heart as our Grand Master inflames you with only the truth. Allow your inner light to flow again and stomp out misformation with only the facts. And now, listen to the Supreme Grand Master Naya Malachi Zodek El.
Okay, I know as a little girl, right, I remember my grandfather coming to us when we were, like, my daughter's in age at the time. His feathers were very long. They were down to the ground, very long. And his garb was like a pure, like, sheepskin, like, the type of garb he had around it, the inscriptions on it. You know, all I can remember is how the beads were, the white beads, and the emblem he used to have on his chest, and the feathers, and he used to, like, tell a story. You know, as a little girl, you just don't remember, like, the essence of it, but you remember, you know. It's like I remember it, but I just can't remember the true meaning behind it, everything he used to show us and teach us, you know, growing up. And he passed away, like, in the 70s, so... It's been some time, but I still remember it from that time as a little girl, having, you know, him coming around every summer and seeing just how beautiful his garb was and how strong he was. His force was strong, too. His force was like the same color.
People have to begin to realize here that you're all Native Americans and that Africans, a lot of it was a myth. Not all of it. There are Africans here. But the majority of y'all are not Africans, you're Native Americans. You are here. This is your country. And they would like to make you think that everybody came from Africa so that they can solve it with the Emancipation Proclamation, pass bills like affirmative action, and then remove them whenever they feel like it. But as indigenous people, when you start proclaiming, right, your indigenous rights to the land, you can prove it with documents and deeds. Like you said, you got a reflection in your mind of your grandfather. And he was definitely standing there a Native American. But for years, you've been taught to direct your attention towards being African or Asiatic or Arab and a whole bunch of other things. And that's done intentionally. And that, I mean, that's a safeguard on the part of the people right now that have the country under control. Because once you start realizing your true identity and you start making connections with foreign governments, and like we say, indigenous people of Geneva, and you start putting your indigenous rights before the public worldwide, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing they can do about the information we're putting out with verified. I mean, they're trying to say to all Orientals, and Ray Charles can see that all Mets are not Orientals. I mean, they need that, but it's not going to work. The time has come. We're raising it. That's too bad. But you have to get this African thing out your mind. That's not real.
Okay, so then I have a son that's in college now. So then if I am aware of all that and I knew everything behind it, then he could have applied for a scholarship for Native Americans?
Yes, he could, but we shouldn't do that, right? We should provide, according to Indigenous People's Rights, which is Act to the past, we're supposed to provide our own education. We're not supposed to be going to him to get educated. We're supposed to have our own education in our own language. To follow, and if we were what you call enslaved, as they say, that led us to need these documents and certificates that they issue in order to get jobs, to follow, then that's a handicap. Because we as a people need to go back to the land so we don't have to feel we have to go into industry or into their government for support. We have to learn to support ourselves. We have to learn to build for ourselves. And so I'm not saying that your son's degrees are worthless, because I have degrees also. I'm saying, but as Native Americans, if we're going to make that right, if we're going to hold up that Constitution and going to say, listen, according to what you've written or copied, you don't play fair. You follow? If we take some statistics today and just look at the world, or let's say the Western world, the Caribbean, Puerto Rico, Cuba, we just look at where we are as a people and see how we're being treated and find out if we're being treated fair. And the law says if you're not being treated fair, you have the right to go and make a private election and elect your own leadership and set up your own government. You're allowed for what they call peaceful assembly. They can't stop us from coming together like this and starting to organize for ourselves, because I don't feel safe with the incident that took place in New York a couple of days ago, which is, like the brother said, which is not an isolated incident. The famous terminology that they use, I said, this is getting pathetic. Rodney King is pathetic. The young brother got strangled to death by accident in Chicago, you know what I mean? It's pathetic. And the young brother got shot in front of the motorcycle store last year in Atlanta, one of the twins. You follow? I am no longer safe in your hands. You have years and years of jealousy and envy of me that you created, and now you abuse me. You follow? And you take my name, Yamasi, my natural instinct towards being gentle, as a weakness, because I don't retaliate. So my first approach is to give you back your stuff. You follow that? And set up my own stuff. I have a right to move around this land wherever I want. That's law. I have a right to set up on this land wherever I want. No one can hinder you from moving and traveling. You have a right to a nationality. That's law. These are things that's in the Constitution, so you learn them. You have a right to stand up and say that you are an ice cream sandwich. And it's law. If you claim that as your nationality. You follow that? However, we do have a nationality that they did such a good deal of lying and burying that it makes it very difficult when we go to the library to find the facts. They buried it so well. And now it's time to bring it forward, because we tried to cooperate with you. We tried to work with you. Many of us did go through the system, did graduate from college, do have degrees, and still couldn't get a job. Many of us got arrested and we didn't get fair treatment. Just us, like you said, meant just that, just us, them. It's not like we, all of us as a race, decided to rebel. To this very day, 75% of the black population, as they call us, are still trying to cooperate, literally still bending over, kissing butt. And the 25% of us that are trying to fed up are made to look like we're some type of troublemaker. because I am not sending my daughters and sons to public school so they can get shot in an environment that you can't control. And your best resource is, well, give us more tax money, an institution that does not really or legally exist. You volunteer your tax, and now they enslave you with them. And then I pay the tax, and the brother who from Haiti who got beat up and sodomized was probably paying tax also. So he paid them to do that to him. Why? Because we have nothing to do with the psychological evaluation of those people that are in office. They get in office by them voting each other in. Then we find out when they get in office of all the things they do. We found out once Nixon was in office that he was a crook. When are we going to start getting a psychological profile so we can analyze the people that's going to represent us? Not because he gets up and gives us a speech. Gavardo is a strong financial campaign, but when do I get a chance to find out whether the guy in charge, let's say the people, police, when do I get a chance to investigate him? Find out who his sons and daughters are, what they do, where they go to school, are they criminals? We only find out way after. After they've what? Done damage to us. And then when we finally say, listen, I don't have anything against my country. Stop saying, go back to Africa. Go back to Africa. Go back to Europe. Go back to Africa. I ain't got nothing. This is my country. I ain't got nothing. I got something against the people that are misusing the country and misusing me. I should not have to fear if a police officer pulls up behind me while I'm on the road. If I say, well, my safety belt is on, I was doing 55 miles an hour, I knew maybe my headlight on. You know what I mean? I can just about minimize why I'm being pulled over. But if I'm sitting there and I'm starting to get an adrenaline rush because I don't know what to expect because I get flashbacks of Rodney King. Is the man that's coming with this diamond in the uniform, is this a devil pretending he's a human and he wants to kill me? Is there an underlying society that has a quota that says we must have a Rodney incident every certain amount of months to keep fear instilled? Because I can't believe, I know you can't either, that the officers in New York could ever imagine that they were going to get away with that. Not if they kidnapped him or accosted him or taken him from a party. If they took this individual out of a party, then people were there. That's the party generally means. And then they do what they've done to him and nobody's supposed to see it? No. Uh-uh. They knew that was going to make public. They knew that was going to make media. It is supposed to make media. It's supposed to instill fear of the uniform. Supposed to make me and you afraid of them. So they can walk up and do anything between that and their indoctrination of Christianity of turn the other cheek. As long as I get out of the situation, I forget the abuse. You understand? Now they're talking about how much money this boy should get. Money. I tell you, 6 months from now, there'll be another incident. And they're going to start getting closer and closer because it's a fair tactic. There is an organization. And that cop out there with OJ Furman belonged to that organization. And it's an international connection that they have. And our officers, the Nubian officers, don't even have a clue of it. Because they are being abused in the police department. They don't get equal rank. The same thing in the military. Nubians in the military don't get equal rank. In the Board of Education, they don't get equal rank. You follow? So they'll probably petition for equal rights. For what? It's not like I'm going to get it. So in view of the fact that I'm not allowed to express myself intellectually, agriculturally, vocationally, whatever you say, it's time for me to pull aside and show you what's inside my mind. Because if I look to see what's inside your mind, then I'll go downtown Atlanta and I'll look at your architecture and the structures they built, and I'll see demagogues and demons looking off the buildings at me. If I go to New York down on Wall Street or Philadelphia, I see demons and demagogues and things bearing down off of cathedrals even. Churches even got them. You're telling me right there what is inside your soul. The artist is the expression of the people. You with me? What the artist paints tells you what the people feel inside. You hear me? But now when I get a free hand, meaning us, we got a free hand to build out here, look what we did. Any demons and demagogues looking down off the building? No, just us. You know what they'll do? They'll drive by here. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about my Christian brothers and sisters. They'll drive by here. And they'll look up and they'll say, those people are pagans. I see statues of Egyptian images, and Exodus says, do not make graven images and likeness. And you know what I mean? They get people saying, yeah, some kind of a paganistic, ritualistic cult thing out there, maybe. You follow? And I turn around and say, well, excuse me, sir. But when I go to Washington, D.C., I see Abraham Lincoln sitting in a chair like Rameses III. A big old monument that you tell everybody to go see. And all the Christians don't realize that that's idol worship. I said, when you flip a dollar bill out your pocket and start looking at all of the pictures of them dead presidents, aren't those graven images? And if man was made in the image and after likeness of God, then any man's image you duplicate is in violation of do not make any graven images. So now, I want anybody here from any city that they construct to tell me a city you live in where there is no monument. They even got a rabbit down here in town. All the Christians should be saying, this rabbit has got to go. Because it's a violation. You with me? It's a violation of the holy book of the Bible, of Exodus, where God says that he is a jealous God. And that you should have, Matt, picture that, by the way. And that you should have no other gods before me. In the heavens above, on the earth, or beneath the earth. He went all the way. God took it all the way. There wasn't none flying, walking, or swimming, looking like me. You understand?
Brightline is back, and your first ride is on us.
They come out here and see me on the wall, and then see me looking at me. And I didn't carve an image of me, and in the likeness of me, I say I'm God, and they get mad. You follow? They call me a pagan. Some people out there are pagans. Look at Isis standing there. There's more to Isis than that statue. She's also body beautiful. You follow? There's something to go into the girl's mind. The image of a goddess standing there that looks like her. All these little kids here. If that bothers you, then give us one Negro for every white person on the dollar bill. And let's go around each city and every place you got statues of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, and over there in Stone Mountain, honey. You got a whole wall of killers up there. A whole bunch of people who are massacring human beings, and you make it a monument, and the Christian world cannot see that there are people from the Confederates that worship those men. They have parades for them and holidays for them, and they dress up like them. They put on old gray suits and ride down the streets in horses. You know what that is? That's idol worship. Whether it's idol or idol, it's still a violation of your scripture. And you're going to drive by here and say, we're pagans? Because I want to look in a mirror and see me? Because you want me to look in the mirror and see you? They got women standing in the mirror with nappy hair doing it there. Trying to pull it back over their ear. Bleaching it, blowing it, burning it, straightening it, flying it, electrifying it, microwaving it, sexing it, weaving it. Teasing it. What else? Touch up. Touch down. They go up, they go down. They want me and you to look in a mirror, but don't see us, to see them. And to see them as beautiful. They want me and you, and I'm talking about the religious sector, they want me and you to see God in their image and after their likeness and subliminally not realize that I'm seeing myself with that as the devil. You follow that? As long as I continue to follow this guy. He's the Bible. The Bible. It's called the Bible of Babel. You follow what I'm saying? They want that. They need that. But when this day and time comes, and it comes, 25,000 years, believe it or not, is not a long time that people have existed over 76 billion years. Anybody who's only existed for 6,000 years, 25,000 years seems like a long time to them. We've been around a long time. We done evolved in every different direction and came back to what we look like. He's still moving in one direction, dying out daily. But he must maintain a certain amount of control. And he does it through religion. And where he misses religion, he does it through the cinema or the movies. Where he misses that, he does it through the radio. And where he does that, he does it through the education department. And he teaches your children to hate you. Not to hate you by hate, but hate the way you look and hate the way they look, but hate you for breeding them that way. It's all subliminal. And then your child raises up and rebels against their mother and father. Don't want to be with their fathers. They all got Jacob and son, Williams and son, so-and-so and son. You don't have no niggas and sons. Every son wants to break away from what his father's doing and go off and do his own thing. You follow? So we're in a day and time where we got to collect our thoughts and start to do our own thing. Or as I simply say, put together our own stuff. In the Muslim world, they admitted that we were coming, but the Muslims don't even see it. Right in their Quran, they admit that somebody's coming, and Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they say, sending peace and blessings upon him, they say that Muhammad was a salvation to humanity. You hear me? The savior to the world, the answer to the problem. And the last revelation of their Quran, any ex-Muslims in there? Thank you. And you know what I'm talking about. And the last revelation of their Quran says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. You know what that means? إِذَا when جَاءَ comes نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, the help of Allah, وَالْفَتْحُ, that shall be the victorious opening. Now, if Muhammad was standing there with them, with me, and he was supposed to be the salvation to all humanity, why would his followers say, Muhammad, Matta Nasr Allahi, Muhammad, when is the Nasr coming? He's standing there. In the Holy Quran, 2nd chapter, 214, it says, Matta Nasr Allahi, Muhammad. When is the help coming? He says, in the Nasr Allahi Kareem. Surely the help is near. He says it. That means he ain't it. You hear me? Christianity. Book of St. John. There are many things I have to say unto you. However, you can't bear them. Yet. I will send unto you another comforter. He shall not speak of himself, but only that which he hears shall he speak. And he shall glorify my holy name. That's not Jesus is talking, according to y'all. So now we come, a Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't say that. He said, another comforter. Someone like himself. Another comforter. He was standing there as a physical being. No, I'm not staging to say it's me for all you people waiting for the trap. That's not what I'm doing, so relax. I'm basically saying that he was admitting that he is not the Savior. So the Christians had to rewrite the story and say he's coming back. Right? And they've been waiting for 2,000 years for him to get back. But Jesus himself never makes that claim. Jesus himself was one who had to repent. You say, what? Yes, Jesus, God, had to repent, just like Muhammad, admitted in the Quran that he sinned and had to repent. Write in your book of the Bible in Mark. You got a Bible? Chapter 1. Let's see what it said here in Mark, chapter 1. John did baptize, verse 4, in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. This is said in verse 4. After it speaks about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River. Now, what was the purpose for the baptism? According to the Bible, I don't give a darn what your reverend or your teacher or your pastor would like to make you believe, because you don't want to stay by the word. Let's look at the word that you said you believe in, and let's see what it says. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right? As it is written in the prophets. They're talking about the book as it was recorded. Okay? Behold, I send my messenger before the face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare thee the way of the Lord, make your path straight. End of verse 3. Boom. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of the repentance for the remission of sin. They call it bet and oya in Greek. Bet and oya. You know what it means? To change your mind. The word they have for repentance in their Greek Bible is not repentance, but to change your mind. Tell the reverend to look it up. Find out it's true. If I proceed down this chapter, you know it's going to come down to 9? And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. Why was Jesus baptized? For repentance, to have his mind changed according to the Greek. Why would God have to be baptized? Why would a person who was born sinless, conceived in heaven first, and then laid on earth in a manger, why would he have to repent if he was God? Repentance didn't start there, you know. It started back here in Genesis, way back here. Oh, yeah, you ain't gonna like that one. Let's see what it says. So it gets some yellow. May it help? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Listen. And God, and here they use the word Elohim. They don't use the word Yahweh. They use the word Elohim, a plural. Even though they'll lie and say God with a big old capital G and then start talking about capital and small G, which don't exist in Hebrew or in Greek. Big lie. And God saw the wickedness of man. Every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continuously, is what God saw. You hear me? This is Genesis chapter 6, right after the creation. Man, this all God saw in man, it is every image in his imagination, everything about him was evil continuously. And, listen to this, and it repented, nachem, the Hebrew word. The same thing, to change your mind, to repent. And it repented the Lord, and here they use Yahweh, it steps away from God. One of them steps out and got mad, the one responsible for the creation. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Here, God is repenting. So God was baptized. God, you're telling me, the all-knowing, all-wise, omnipresent, omnipotent being who knows the secrets of every man's heart according to Psalms, didn't know that Adam was going to become a bad boy. You understand this? And I'd like to ask another question. Did the horses sin in the garden? Yes or no? I may sound crazy. I just think I'd rather you to answer. Did the horses sin? Did the goats sin? It's a chicken thing. So why were they drowned? Why was all of the beasts of the field, let me go on and see what it says, and the Lord, which is Yahweh, said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Check this out. You ready? Both man and beast. What does the word both mean? Two. Both. Both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowl. Is God having a mathematical problem here? He said both, and then he went on to name four things. That's like, I want all five of y'all to get up and put up two fingers. You read that? Listen to this. This is your Bible. I'm saying your Bible, but I'll get to the end of that. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. I would like to know who he's talking to, if he's alone. You're following? You got to turn to somebody. He didn't say, I'm going to destroy you. So he wasn't talking to man. He wasn't talking to angels, because I'll get to that later. whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing and fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I am sorry I made them. Who is he talking to? Don't run back to the New Testament and give me the hype of rapture and a bunch of crap. Let's start in the beginning of the Bible and try to do word by word to see if we're getting a clear vision of the principles, the nature of what God is about and who God is. What kind of nature is this? This same God in Genesis chapter 4 speaks with Cain. Cain killed Abel. Correct? Now, before Cain killed Abel, how many people, according to the Bible and the Quran, how many people, human beings, were on the planet Earth? Tell me. Four folks. Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Nobody else was young. Nobody. You with that? According to the Bible. However, after Cain kills Abel, Cain tells God that he's afraid that whoever catches him is going to kill him. And God tells him, anyone that kills you or touches you, I'll put a sevenfold curse on them. Who is Cain and God talking about if the only people left on the planet is Adam, Eve, and Cain? Nobody else was here. So who was the Cain afraid to go out and meet? No one else was on the planet. You can say, well, this is a prediction of the future. No. Genesis chapter 3 says the man has become like one of us to know good from evil. Who is the one of us? Well, that's God and his divine principles. Talking in the plural, he means himself. It may sound like a joke, but it's not funny what they have. To our souls and our minds with this crap. And then when I stood beside Dr. Martin Luther King, right, and held up, I'm talking to you Christians, and held up down here in Selma, Alabama, in front of them and said, but we are Christians, they slapped the Bible out of there and said, your God ain't my God. Right? The KKK bases their whole doctrine on the book of Romans. If you study them. And then go out and burn you. And crucify you and castrate you. What do they put on your lawn? A pitchfork or a cross? The people that came over here, Christopher Columbus, were Christians who came over here when you were here as Native Americans living in peace. We were doing fine, for as they have on record, 10,000 B.C. Before the Christian era, we were living here on this land in peace. Was no blood sacrifices. Was no wars amongst us. Then the Christians came over here with their doctrine. You hear me? We were living in Morocco. We were living in Mauritania. We were living in Mali. We're living in Senegal and all of the southern Sahara in peace. You hear me? And then the Muslims or Moslems invaded with Islam. Their religion. And we've been fighting each other. We have actually been convinced to kidnap each other and sell each other in slavery, as they call it, for money. You with me? And they hold up this book, the Bible, or they hold up the Quran to enslave your mind with some type of faith. It's all that blind faith. And the bad thing about it is someone like me who does his homework, masters the languages of these books, and starts to analyze them and say, well, I just want to talk to you about that book. I want to see if, brethren, you really know what you're talking about. Because you can get up there and storm it, talk to the hummer, and talk the Holy Ghost bull crap. But do you know what you're talking about when it comes down to our souls? And what has this book done for me lately? Nothing. I'm still being abused. And I'm a man. I can stand up and I can retaliate, but I'm intelligent enough to try to work for law and order. And in that kindness and gentleness, I'm portrayed as weak. You follow? You had Reverend Sutton have millions, look like millions of people marching across the bridge in New York, right? So they walk from this end of the bridge to that end of the bridge, and then they disperse and go home. But that boy still lays in the hospital on critical. Nothing is done. That's called a peaceful display. But what happened to him is not a peaceful display. And I'm not supposed to get mad. If I talk about it, I'm a rebel rouser or a troublemaker because I fear that my son may be subject to that kind of abuse. You hear me? And you can be convinced, oh, that guy out there is a bad man. That nigga out there is trouble. They can convince you that I'm trouble. Because all I say to the reverend, I talk to any one of your reverend preachers, rabbis, or imams, they've been running for me for 25 years. They've been ducking and hiding and bobbing, and all of them got my books. You look in your reverend's briefcase, and in there you're going to see me looking up. All the Freemasons and Shriners are reading our books. Eastern Stars, Northern Lights is too. Minister Farrakhan, open his briefcase. I'm looking up at him. Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Black Madonna, Rastafarian, everybody is reading our book. But none of them can see that this is that time, that incarnation time. Time to set the record straight. The kind of information that we are putting out is causing a traffic jam on the information highway. They can't even keep up with where we're coming from. And they're not supposed to, because it's your wake-up call. You can make up your mind to delve into these books, like the young man said, and I give you the opportunity, don't believe me. Check me out. Hey, I'm checking the nigga out. Nigga could be lying. Niggas lie. They lie well. But I'm saying before, you have to do it and get this religious, oh, I don't want to check you out because I believe in you. Nah, that's the game they used before. The reverend gets you so confident in him that when he opens up the Bible and makes a statement, you follow? You just believe in him. Nah, wait, let me get this thing. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. Is that correct? Is that what you're telling me about Jesus and Mary? And this little lamb was born because God wanted to come down to earth. So he came to a woman, and he placed himself inside this woman. And then he gave birth to himself in a manger, and he called three wise men who didn't believe in his religion. And he also stirred the anger in Herod to want to kill him. And the wise men went to Herod, and then the wise men had to come back to Joseph. And tell Joseph, watch out, because Herod wants to kill your son. And then God sent angels, listen, God sent angels to tell Joseph and Mary to take the little boy and go into Egypt. Correct? Is that the story? I thought the little boy was God. Now, if the little boy is God laying in the manger, then a little boy should lean up like the Muslims say, talk from the cradle, which is crap, they made that up. But anyway, he should be able to lean up and say, Joe, let's get out of here. I mean, after all, this is God. Does he have a restriction? Can the baby God not get up or sit up, stretch? Say, Joe, Mary. Herod's mad. He's intimidated by the fact that I may be taking his throne. Let's go hang out in Egypt for a while, you know. Couldn't he do that? Isn't he God? God is running from Herod? God is afraid to die God who was born to die on the cross for your sins, according to the scripture, and was supposed to die at age 33 on Mount Calvary so that I could be saved. This was predestined, recorded in heaven before it happened on earth. If Jesus was going to die at 33, why was he running at birth? Could anybody have interfered with that if that was destiny? Could Herod have killed Jesus? Could the Nazarites have killed him when he ran through the crowd? Could the Jews have killed him when he was hiding? Somebody or Bates have been lying to you. And that's why we can't get out this state of mind. Because we are blinded by some type of hypnotic spell of stupidity. They got us numb into believing stuff that does not make sense. Some of y'all cried when you saw the movie E.T. Because a little rubber monster wanted to go home. Tell me about it. It was able to jump off the screen and touch your heart emotional because a little freaky looking man with a thing in the air called E.T. And all the people in town went and saw E.T. and then they're mad at me because I said, I'm a real one. I'm not a little green thing. Oh, he's crazy. But your sons and daughters were crying for a little monster whose head went up and down, spun around. You understand? Some of y'all are probably too young, but y'all people about my age. Remember the movie Psycho? He was afraid to close the shower curtain after watching that movie. I'm alive. The birds. People put their birds. The parakeets got infected. You got to go. You see a bunch of birds, you be thinking, where would I hide? They showed them flying through windows and tearing down doors. I've watched many a bird flop off a window. They can't do it, but they know that they can control the way we think and feel. So they can control the way you think and feel about me and I about you. You and me. They can actually alter our emotions and make us do things to each other. But when it comes to them, they can do anything to us and we don't do anything but march across the bridge. Stockton was going to get something to eat in Chinatown. He always marches where the people cook a lot of food. He marched in the Little Italy where the Italians was to go to the pizza store. Now he's marching across the bridge to Chinatown to get some chop suey. But what about the brother who's now on a critical diet? What about that fact? You with me? How long are we to absorb, or will you continue to absorb the crap? Haile Selassie was not Jesus. He was a nice little Ethiopian boy who sold his soul to the Queen of England. Now, if you don't know your own history, if you ain't been to Egypt, you ain't walking around, ain't never been to Ethiopia. Now, Axum or Ethiopia, or the Creole kind of Ethiopia, I. Now, Yahweh Ben Yahweh don't have any flying saucers. Nigga been in jail 7 years, the flying saucers ain't get here yet. You with me? How long are we going to be believing in this stuff? Jesus is not coming. Hello? Wake up. A short time is not 2,000 years. He said, you see me now in St. John's, in a little while you see me again. Right? A little while is not 2,000 years. A little while is, how long will it be before my tea is ready? In a little while, honey. Okay. That's a little while. A 2,000-year-old cup of tea? Wake up. It's a fake promise. And the problem is not in the congregation. It's in the preacher who wants to keep that Cadillac full. He ain't no longer concerned whether or not this is the word of God or not. He's worried about that ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And Jesus, in this Bible here, according to you people, when he found people exchanging money in his father's house, what did he do? He went in and turned over the table and said, this is my father's house. Take this crap out. So how does a reverend stand up and pass out a cup in the house of God? And you want to know why churches are burning down? You want to know why all across Georgia Christian churches, predominantly black, are burning? Because they're doing mischief in the house of the Lord. And they're doing mischief in the name of the Lord. And Father, they're doing the works of what they themselves call the devil. If the Christian preaches to say those people out there are crazy before they even come out here and shake my hand to welcome me into Georgia, let me see if the man's crazy. Let me sit down and break bread with him. Ain't that the Christian way? Let me talk to the man and find out how crazy he is. I'm not the type of person who would take them apart on the first date. Y'all know I'm not that kind of guy. I'd be nice to the man the first date. But by the second date, I'm going to tell you a new one if you don't come right. Because you ain't going to teach this crap no more. Because it is not doing nothing for us. So now let's see what this does for us. Tell me, how do you feel? How do you feel inside knowing again? Isn't that a good feeling? Well, somebody comes up and says, well, you know, you have to understand this Bible because it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you have to walk in and say, you mean Elohim, don't you? And they go, no, I mean God. It says God. He said, but you mean Elohim because you're admitting that this Bible was originally Hebrew, right? You go, well, the Bible was Hebrew. That's right. So how do you say God in Hebrew? Jehovah. Say, no, not Jehovah. It's all over. Close the book up. Take back the crap. Does anybody have the book of Leviathan with them? Page 664 and 665. Anybody have it? When you get to insert that page there, you're going to find that it says, they must get rid of Princess Di. They must get rid of Princess Di. Because she was her children and her would naturally become the prince. And the princes and the princess, and they got to stop that. Now, when I listened to the news last night, I heard them say Princess Di was in a plane crash and she had minor lacerations of the head and one of her limbs were broken. They couldn't tell you what limb was broken while they were looking at her. 665 on part two. It says they got rid of the two rulers. They got rid of Margaret Thatcher, a woman British prime minister.
I don't think it's the most romantic hotel in Hawaii, do you?
These people make me, like, gouge my eyes out.
From 1979 to November 22nd, 1990, and he replaced her with a male named John Majors. Now, listen close, now they have to get rid of Princess Diana. Because, by right, she's married to the prince, and she's the next princess to become the heir of the throne, the mystery harlot. They have to eliminate her. That's Revelation. How long ago was this book done? If you're looking for the other person, the other great person to die, he's sitting right here. Deng, his name is. He was the head of China, the prolonged communist. He also died this year. If y'all remember me telling y'all, we have two great people that must die this year. One male and one female. I said, I thought it was Mother Teresa, but it wasn't fair because she was so old. But I said, I didn't see it clear enough, but the prophecy is fulfilled. I only point that out to tell you what we're doing today. Who's standing before you and why I'm here. Simply, as I say all the time, success, the record, grace. These are confirmations for you if you are a doubter. Now I ask your preacher or your rabbi or imam to tell me next year what to expect. And log it down so I can find it. London is going underwater. They just gave us notice. That's also in our prophecies. London will not be here. You understand? They have a new mosquito carrying a bacteria. That's on the media today. I told y'all to get away from eating beef a long time ago. If you were listening to me, then you weren't nothing to worry about. About now they're talking about the poisons of fruit, the dangers of fruit. If you're listening to me, I do expect you to check out what I say. I don't want no blind faith. You're safe. If you don't listen to me, if you think you got it, then that's not my, then you're no longer my responsibility. Then I'm not your chief. If I'm your chief, then you respect what I suggest to you. I'm not going to tell you to do nothing wrong. I am telling you that we're coming to that day and time where y'all got to inherit some courage. Because you're going to have to stand up and tell them who you are, not ask them. You have to tell them where you come from. The young man asked, he said, what about me? He said, I'm from a Latino birth. How do I identify who I am? I told y'all very simply, they record three races on the planet, right? Name them. Negroid, Mongoloid, and Caucasoid, and in that order. And they give you descriptions of each of those races, correct? And the first race, and that has been proven to exist on the planet, is what they refer to as the Negroid. This is a fact. Scientists are no longer in doubt about who was first. Pigmentation, melanin, everything says you were on the planet first, which means you own the planet. Not, you don't own just America. You also own Europe. If you were here first, that's what he says in his law. That's why he creates the word indigenous. Indigenous means I was here first. Now, Oriental and what you call Mongoloid mixed with us. And all the races that are still Moors and Nuwapians are in between that. You follow that? If you travel through the tribes of the Native Americans, all down through the islands of the Caribbean, all the Ararats, all of these people, they're all people who came from Ormac and Mongoloid mixture. You with me? Nothing else. There's no such thing as the East Indians or the Malaysians. They are all under those three races genetically. You can check the blood types and trace it. So you are more as any other more in here. And everybody from Puerto Rico, Cuba, from Santo Domingo, from Panama, you are all Native Americans and Moors. With no question or doubt, unless they can produce some new scientific data that the etymologists use other than facts. And they will try. They will come up with information, introduce it to you, and it don't even have to be right, and half of y'all niggas will believe it. I mean, ain't no such thing as a tribe of Shabazz. Malcolm X died carrying a name that doesn't even exist. Doesn't have a nationality or national origin or anywhere. Nothing can be proven. A man lost his life under the name Shabazz. Something, a fake name. It's not going to be in St. Peter's Book of the Gates. You hear me? We come back around every certain amount of thousands of years of use. The divinity inside of you says, I am fed up. I am tired. I need the truth again. And sometimes that truth hurts because you may be the son or the daughter of a pastor. You may be a pastor yourself. You may be a reverend, imam, a Muslim, Christian. And it hurts. But you got to make up your mind. Do you want the truth or not? That's all. That's what it's about. Do you want the truth or not? If you want the truth, you go after it. A-S-K is the key words. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. You can't sit inside of a church and listen to it. You got to ask. The first letter is A-S-K, ask him. So when the reverend starts to preach and say, Reverend, I prefer you to start the teaching. I don't mind the preaching, but do the preaching after you do the teaching so I know what you're preaching about. But if you get up there and just start preaching and you don't start teaching, I ain't got nothing to go on but faith. I don't want no more faith. I want some facts. I want to go in the closet and find the toys on Christmas Eve. I'm tired of waiting till Christmas morning. They're already in the house. Why not? Facts are already here. Why can't I have them? And why am I such a bad person? Because I don't like what you do to me. Because I walk into a restaurant and I don't get fair service. I walk into a store, you ask me, can I help you? Want to escort me around like I'm a thief. And then you want to know whether or not McVeigh is great. McVeigh can walk in any restaurant and get treated well. McVeigh, you know what I'm talking about, Timothy. Or Jeffrey Dahmer, which probably didn't frequent restaurants. He had his own personal restaurant. But Jeffrey Dahmer could walk into a supermarket or a cold store downtown Atlanta any mall and nobody even give him a second look. But you can put on a three-piece mohair suit, silk suit, walk in. They'll still walk over to you. Can I help you? Yeah, you get the hell out of my face. And when you do that there, you're an arrogant nigger. They don't seem to be sensitive enough to realize what they're creating out of us. They don't realize what they're making. A new person is being born. I'm tired of it. In simple, plain vulgarity. I'm tired of it. If you can't prove it, don't tell me. And brother, Reverend, shut up. Shut up until you go into this book by cover, on the beginning of the cover. Don't be walking up and giving me no New Testament. God don't have to renew nothing. Doesn't God know from the Old Testament what he wants to say? Why must he say, now there's a new one? God don't need to renew. God sends renewers into earth, people who come down to communicate his message. If you are a God-believing person or a God-fearing person, as they put it. Hear me? But the crap, they got to take it back.
It's Taco Bell's new double steak grilled cheese burrito, covered with melty cheese that's grilled on top.
The Psalms of David, the Lost Book, and the Holy Quran. There are no more secrets. All false things will perish. So come and learn the undisputable teachings of the only man that has the answer to the problems of a troubled world. It's Sayyid Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله والي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لنا المرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that he is alone and has no partner? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
And now, the true light, featuring Sayyid Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi.
Concerning the ancient Egyptians in terms of their religious wisdom, I was wondering how they came up with ideas such as the soul of a man being the life force, one supreme eternal life energy being.
Because the word Egypt today was not the original name. The word was Mizraim, which is the word Masr in Arabic. Mizraim, as you know, was one of the descendants of Noah from his son. Correct?
Yes.
And they brought the teachings that Noah had from before the ark over into Egypt. Nothing unusual. That's why the stock they say in ancient Egyptian Book of the Dead, we find story of creation and story of the flood. Yeah. Read the Bible. You find out that Noah's descendants, Mizraim, his son Mizraim, Cush, and Ham migrated into Africa from Asia. And Mizraim is Egypt. That's what it's called. Egypt is Mizraim in Hebrew. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing unusual for them to have the doctrine. They've always had the doctrine of monotheism there. It was the influence of other cultures that made them sell out. The same way, to take this, for instance, take the Ethiopians now, right? They're being converted from Coptic Christianity to Pentecostalism. Why? Because they're starving to death, and the Pentecostals will come in here and feed them. And food converts people when they're hungry. They come in with this food and medicine, and they just convert whole countries and histories with thousands of years of culture into the new Pentecostal church and have them almost worshiping Jimmy Swagger. That's what they do. And that's what they did back in Egypt. The invasion of richer cultures when Egypt was going through a drought period and is going to be going through another drought in the next 5 years. When it was going through its drought period, it caught them with their guard down. Different invasions of Hittites and other tribes influenced their culture.
Okay, my next question is, you said that you got the Suhuf out of the one of the secret chambers at the bottom of the pyramid. Is that correct?
No, it was given to me by a man named Mahmoud who got it from the Burma.
Yeah, I was incorrect. I'm sorry. You said the Suhuf was in the sacred chamber of the pyramid when Noah's flood took place?
Yeah.
So my question is, if that the Egyptians are the descendants of Noah, how were these pyramids built prior to the flood? So
the pyramids were built by extraterrestrials.
Okay.
Not by men. Men assisted them. And they have found mummified extraterrestrials. They found them. You know, they have them. It's nothing new. The British Museum has a lot of things that they don't even bring here. And the Canadian Museum has one also, by the way.
So what was the purpose of the extraterrestrials building these pyramids?
They were schools. The pyramids were schools of thought, where they taught. The masters met there. And all those pyramids are linked around the world. They're magnetic centers. Each pyramid creates a magnetic force field to charge ships that pass over, which you all refer to as flying saucers. We call them Tropic Fire. Right? It's fly by, they charge. That's what the Bermuda Triangle is also a school. And it also has a pyramid of electricity that charges ships. Why they always find UFOs hovering over the pyramid or over the Bermuda Triangle or over large places where there's a lot of electricity to charge themselves.
Did they teach men?
Yes, they taught men. They taught Nubians. Yeah, they taught them eye operations and brain operations and things that modern-day scientists are confessing existed in Egypt before they knew anything about it. They're saying, now we know that these Egyptians and these people in Africa was doing great surgeries and having tools to perform brain operations that we just got into this year. How'd they do it? Well, it was taught by extraterrestrials or far more advanced mortals on Earth.
Were they taught religious wisdom also?
Religion in what respect? Because Al-Islam is more than just a religion, it's a way of life.
Yes. In respect of the oneness of Allah?
That's emphasized. That point is always emphasized. The elders are called the Elohim.
They had that knowledge prior to Noah.
Trillions of years before Noah. This planet is a planet of babies compared to extraterrestrials from other galaxies.
No, I'm not talking about the extraterrestrials. I'm talking about the people that were taught by the extraterrestrials.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, before Noah.
So there are actually two sources of the religious wisdom?
Oh, they're all the same, because Noah was visited by extraterrestrials.
Okay. All right, I have a question on another subject concerning Canaan. Was Canaan born with a soul?
Yes, he was.
At what point did the white man lose their soul?
And Canaan was not a white man. Canaan was a black man. He was albino. He was albina, we call him.
Okay.
They got up into the mountains, and they was born their soul because if you read the book, you find out that some of the 200 fallen angels came into Canaan's 11 sons, not Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
When his wife and him, Salha, conceived, their sons were possessed of demons. It was at that point that they were soldiers.
Thank you. My question is, if our purpose is to get back to the state where the Creator wants us, why are some brothers and sisters not being able to see the truth. Don't want to see it, don't want to hear it.
Because the devil did a real good job.
So the devil is the one who put the veil.
Yeah, the devil has done a good job of making them want to be what he is. And he's a failure. Every one of his societies always looks rich, but it always fails. Rome, Greece, Mesopotamia, and this society here is beginning to fall apart. The interior is falling apart now. Watch the news. So our people are afraid as men to stand up on our own and build our own nation. We're just afraid to. We've been living under the white man so long that we feel comfortable under his arm. We're afraid to stand up on our own and go for it. And we can do it.
So it's the white man that put the veil on the eyes so they won't see or hear the
no,
truth.
No, Allah, Qasim Allah, Allah Qulubiyam. Allah will seal anybody's heart who seeks disbelief. If you want to find a reason not to be a Muslim, Allah will help you not be a Muslim.
I see.
If you want to look for a reason, say, I'm going to find fault in Imam Isa, he'll help you find fault. I'm going to find fault in the community, he'll help you find fault. If you say, I want to find righteousness in a person, he'll help you find righteousness. If you look at a person and say, I want to find good in that person, he'll help you find good. If you look at that person and say, I want to find wrong, he'll help you find wrong. You can do it.
As-salamu alaykum. I have one question, and it's on a verse in a portion of the Quran where Allah commands a people to be as apes. Can you give a definition or an explanation of that?
This quote is talking to the children of Israel, and it says that because they violated the Sabbath, right, that they shall be as swine and apes. And that's because in ancient Israel, you remember Jesus, he used to cast demons into swine. You follow that? In ancient Israel, the symbol of the ape and the swine was always a symbol of something possessed by demonic things. And he was telling the children of Israel, because they maliciously violated the Sabbath, they will be cast down to the level of swine and ape. And that was a curse that was placed on them, which manifested, that's like we were talking about earlier, in their curse of leprosy. See, people think the Sabbath started with Moses, and it didn't. The Sabbath is back in Genesis, when he says, and on the seventh day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ceased from creation. He didn't stop and go to sleep like they did. He ceased from creation and let evolution or things evolute into place. And that day, that seventh day, is the 7,000th year of creation. We are only in the 6,000. When the 6,000 years up, the devil's rule is up. He got his curse before that. And he is like the swine, and he's like the ape. That is him.
In regards to that previous question about, quote, Magna Man and all those different types of so-called
prehistoric.
Right. How do you explain the different artifacts, you know, people that were found? Like, not people, but, you know.
I don't bother to. See, the difference between me and most people is I don't bother to explain them because of the fact that I believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. So I'm not looking for a reason to believe what some white boy in 18th century named Darwin said. I'm not interested in what he said because I already believe in the Quran. Now, I've written a book about it, and I've attacked the subject for those people who have a little bit of faith trying to strengthen their faith. Personally, I'm not the least concerned with their findings. Because I know the white man made the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, and inside the caves it looked real to me and you. I know he can make all kinds of things. He made some mummy movie, and we could forget while watching it that we're watching the movie. And you personally have never seen any of them, personally. And if you did, you didn't have the knowledge, because he didn't approve of it, for you to be able to analyze them yourself. So all we have is his say-so, right? So the choice is between, do we listen to what this white guy in the 18th century says, or do we listen to the creator of the heaven and the earth? I prefer to listen to the creator of the heaven and the earth. So therefore, I don't even put myself in a position to analyze stones and rocks as our descendants because the Quran doesn't go that way. The Quran makes it clear that Allah created us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And when we start to probe, we're showing doubt in Allah. When we start saying, well, maybe it's true, then we have to confess we're not Muslims then. We're still not Muslims yet. Because when we become Muslims, we no longer question or doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any kind of way. And if he didn't say that, then it don't exist. He says he created man. So that's what it is. You follow? That's how I look at him saying. Every man has his own right to look at it his own way. I look at it as Allah says it in the Quran, and that's what it is. Because I don't doubt the Quran. And the moment I start to question it, then I'm no longer Muslim. But the Quran says don't doubt it.
Assalamu alaikum. I understand from reading some of Imam Isa's pamphlets that the Gospel of Barnabas was excluded from the Bible because it had too many truths in it, correct? And the other day I bought this book from one of the brothers, the Gospel of Barnabas. And I read in here that before the day of judgment is going to be 15 days, whereas there's a sign for each day. And afterwards, like after he explained that what was going to happen, he said on the 15th day that the 15th day the holy angel shall die and the Lord alone shall remain alive, to whom be honor and glory. Is that true?
In the book of Revelation, when they say we're going to wipe away the heaven and wipe away the earth and bring in a new heaven and a new earth, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It also says every man must taste death and then he will return to us. You see that? Every angel and every man's light will go out. That the only light that shines on Yom HaAchri is the light of Allah. And then those who will be rekindled with light will be by the leave of Allah. So the answer when they say the holy angels will die is to say that the light of the angels will go out just like the light of the souls of every man will go out on the last day. And the only light that will shine will be the light of Allah. And then he will select those people that will come back to eternal life.
Awesome.
That's why they say wipe away the heavens and the earth. When they say wipe away the heavens, they say, like it says in Genesis, and a host of them. When it says, and now the creation was finished, all a host of them.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's angelic beings when their creation was complete, and then the creation of man. Okay? So when the Lord says he's going to wipe away the heavens and the earth, all the angels and all men must bow. Everything must bow on the last day.
I have another question, Eric. And also in the same book, I came across a couple of things that was confusing to me because I don't know.
First, let me make it clear to you that that is not a copy of the real book of Barnabas. That is a poor translation. But a lot of it is they do have some facts in it. That which I can answer, I will. But we are taking it from the ancient Arabic and putting it in English slowly but surely. But there's so many books for one person to write. You see, it takes a lot of time. I have a lot of people working with me, but I still have to proofread and research every individual thing. So I may put preference on a subject. I started doing the books of Barnabas. I have like four volumes out. Then other things, questions stirred my attention somewhere else because I tried to write books according to what y'all need to know.
Okay. So is it okay if I ask these other?
By all means. But if it's something that is not, you know, not translated properly, I'll just say it's not translated properly.
Okay. Also in this book it says, if you don't mind me reading a little bit of it, Jesus, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was telling his disciples that the faithful, it says right here, but the faithful shall have comfort because their torment shall have an end. And the disciples were afraid of hearing this and said, so then the faithful must go into hell. Then he went on to explain where that they would be in hell for a little while and that the messenger of Allah, which is Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he's going to ask Allah this. He's going to say, then shall his messenger speak to Allah and say, Lord, my creator, remember the promise made to me, thy servant, concerning them that have received my faith, that they shall not abide forevermore in hell. And Allah shall answer, ask what thou wilt, O my friend, for I will give thee all that thou askest. Now, Muhammad will say, then shall the messenger of Allah say, O Lord, they are of the faithful who have been in hell 72,000 years. Where, O Lord, is thy mercy? I pray thee, Lord, to freedom from those bitter punishments. Is that true also?
See, here's what you got to understand. When you read Genesis again of the Torah, you find out that you have sun, moon, and stars as signs of seasons and times, correct? That is in the earth plane. That has to deal with earth. When you step outside of the earth realm, then you're not governed by the same time laws. You understand? You say, if a person says, I live 76 trillion years, the joke is you don't know whether they mean 76 trillion years of your time. That's the first thing you say is 76 trillion years by my time.
Okay.
76 trillion years in an extraterrestrial world could be 30 years in your time. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Because as you break the speed of light, time goes backwards. When you get outside of the Earth's atmosphere, the time system is totally different. The further you get away from your sun, when you go into other galaxies like the galaxy I come from where we have more than one sun, then our time system changes. You all have 1 hour per day, and we have 3 hours, three simultaneously clocks going at the same time, three sets of seasons going at the same time, depending on what galaxy you come from. You all always tend to base everything on yourself.
All right, thank you. I have another question, if I can ask, right? Like, I remember in one of your books you were saying when in the scrolls, when Allah commanded the angels to come down and from the clay make man. Now, I remember reading that the clay, well, the dirt, rather, the earth, like, asked the angel to desist from this purpose. Now, what I want to know is that being that we're made from that dirt, are we, in sense or some kind of way, crying out like he did in the beginning?
Very interesting point. You know what? Because I've been trying to tell people for years that nature is your worst enemy. Your body tries to get sick. You understand that? Your body tries, your body will pull you down the stairs if you're not careful. Your intellect will force you to step on the gas. Your soul yearns to be released from the prison of the bacteria of the body or the clay. And the clay is living cells of nature. That's what they speak about when they say that it spoke towards Allah. Every cell in your body is alive. Nature is alive. Grass is alive. Soil is alive. All these things live. And these things are bacteria that are plaguing your soul. What do you think you feed? You think you feed your spirit? You feed your body. And you will eat bad food knowing that it is bad for your stomach. You will drink sodas knowing that it is bad for your system. You will smoke ganja, smoke marijuana, take in drugs knowing that it can kill you. You will do these things because nature is man's worst enemy. Nature is not man's friend. Nature is constantly trying to return man to the earth. You understand? And that's where man makes a great mistake in thinking that nature's on his side. This is what makes you get up in a high place and that flash goes to your mind. I wonder how it would be to jump. But if I tried to push you off, I couldn't do it. Yeah. But the flash does come to your mind. You look around. You're driving your car. There's something that makes you say, a little bit faster. You get there a little quicker. And you start increasing in speed. You forget that you're driving a 2-ton piece of steel and glass. And what would happen if you get into an accident? This is nature trying to end your life.
So how do we fight against it?
The thing is, it is not a part of you. If you want to see the real part of you, tomorrow morning when you're washing your face in a mirror, stop and stare for a little while, and you'll begin to get this feeling that the real you is looking from the inside out at the body. Talk to yourself, and you'll make that distinct separation between you and the fake you. The real you is the soul. The fake you is the flesh. Stand in front of that mirror and look at your eyes, look at your nose, look at your mouth, look at your ears, look at your skin, look at the growth of your beard if you be a male, and stare and stare, and eventually the question will come to you, which one is the real me? The one looking out or the one looking out is looking at? When you make that distinction between that soul and that body, then realize that if you did a scale, you do more for your body than you do for your soul. You're feeding your body, dressing your body, plucking your eyebrows, combing your hair, parting your mustache. You stand in the mirror, brushing your teeth, grinning and checking and looking at little pieces of cabbage between your teeth. Everything is the body. What do you do for the soul? Someone comes along and says, pray 5 times a day. Wow, that's a whole lot of prayer. You know, eat 7-8 times a day. I mean, I watched a person try to, the new bags of potato chips are made so you can't open them. You have to put it in your mouth and rip it with your teeth. You no longer can do it with your hand. You know that, right? Years ago, you take a bag of potato chips, you go rip and you open it up. Now they got this made out of this new kind of plastic that you can't even open. Correct? So you got to really fight to get to this bag of potato chips. It really stirs the animal in you. All of it for the pleasures of yourself. But how much do you give to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala? When a person says, can you pray 5 times a day for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala? I work. I'm on my way. I go to school. In school, you make time for lunch. At work, you make time for lunch. But when it comes down to the worship of Allah, all of a sudden, you don't have the time.
Go ahead, finish.
People pray over their food, even. Oh, God, thank you for the food. And then take it and adulterate it with hot sauce and ketchup and peppers and all kind of stuff. First they thank him for it the way it is, and then they add all the poison to it. That's nature trying to destroy you. Believe it. Go ahead.
So I wanted to know, do people actually, talk to the devil inside of their chest? Do people actually do that?
No, the devil talks to them. new inspiration in that test. The devil is the one that makes you put that frown on your face because he convinces you that that will protect you from people.
And we actually answer him back and stuff.
You answer the devil in your actions by carrying out his desires.
So in the
let me tell you a story about men. I'll show you how the devil works. It's good time to do it because summer's coming. There's three men standing on a corner, they're talking. They're holding a conversation. All right? They're supposed to be righteous men. They're standing here talking about the Quran or anything. And down the block, there's coming a girl. She has on tight pants. These three men, watch their nature, how they change. Now, all of them see her coming from the right. One guy alters his position so he's facing her coming. And his conversation continues so he can look directly at her without pretending he's looking at her. You understand? That's one guy. The other guy, fourth season, alters the conversation about women so they all will look. The other guy waits for her to pass and says, just look at that filth. So he can turn around and look. You see? The devil, on the other hand, used all three of those men, three different ways. They all answered the devil's call. One of them was direct. He just turned and looked at her and then made like he wasn't looking. The other guy got everybody to look. The other guy made it look like it was such a disgusting thing to look at that he had to point it out so that everybody would see it. That's how the devil works. The devil just puts up signs and we read them. You follow?
Yes.
That's his job. The devil is not going to make you do anything. He'll put up the sign and you'll read it and follow. So that's why he's a master of commercials and advertisements. That's his thing.
So in like manner, do like the seraphim or the good angels, people as yourself and others, can they speak to us too when we relate back to them?
They
sometimes
do. And they're the ones that makes you see a white woman in distress. And you step above your narrow-mindedness as a black ex-slave and say, I'm going to help her anyway, because it's right to help her.
Mm.
Not because she's white and not because she's black, but because it's right to help somebody in distress as a Muslim, not because they're Christian, not because they're Jew, but because as Muslims, we are Abdullah. We are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have an obligation to all of his creatures. That's when angels are speaking to you. But when you say I'm a black Muslim and that's a white woman is, I don't care if she suffers, then you're acting like the devil. You understand?
Mm.
And many people who are righteous become the devil because they think they're so righteous until they start doing more to work for the devil than Allah. I'm so right and everybody's so wrong, I don't realize how wrong I really am. Many people deceive themselves into evil.
So does that mean that we help
We help anybody that's in distress as Muslims.
So do we help Shaitan, Treasury Prime, like keep the good angels from speaking to us every day? Do we actually help him fight them off or something? Or how come they don't speak to us more?
Because you don't open yourself to them more. Because you don't call on the seraphim until you're laying in a hospital bed. Or until you're in a prison cell. Or until things are going wrong in your love affair, or someone in your family dies, etc., etc. Then you turn and raise your hands to heaven and say, why me? You don't ever hunger when you have a full stomach. But man, when it comes to worshiping Allah and adoration, should always be hungry.
So if I hungered more at this present moment, I could actually feel those kind of things.
The more you open yourself up to them, the more they'll come to you. There's angelic beings, extraterrestrials, waiting to make contact to guide you. They just ask you, all they ask you to do is stay on Sabil Allah. Stay on the path of Allah. Stay on the path of righteousness. That we don't want to do. We want to shuffle and jive and step on and off the path at random. We want to pick them up when we need them and drop them when we don't. It doesn't work like that. It says, he who the Spirit descends upon and resides with him forever, you know him by that. You see that?
Mm.
When the Spirit descends, they want to stay with you. Not like Christianity, where people get the Holy Spirit while they're in church and they go home and curse everybody out.
Mm.
No, in Al-Islam, when a ruh descends upon a man, it is supposed to reside with him eternally. He's supposed to stay in righteousness. Got to learn to live Islam. And we have an example in Rasulullah Muhammad. We have his sunnah to follow. the way he did things, the way he walked, the way he talked, the way he practiced. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us he was the best of examples for us. He tells us to dress a certain way. He tells us to eat a certain way. He tells us to pray a certain amount of times in a certain way. If we want that guidance, we have to do that. The same thing like if you want to become a doctor, you got to pass certain, you got to study and pass certain things in school, right? If you don't do it, you won't become a doctor. You can walk around and call yourself a doctor. Like there's a lot of people walking around calling themselves Muslims. If you're not wearing a veil, you're not a Muslim. You're not wearing the sunnah of Rasulullah. You don't have a beard. And you're not doing, if you're not doing the things that Muhammad did, I don't care who you are, what country you say you're from, you're not Muslim. You have a problem? You have to do what al-Islam calls for to be Muslim. If you don't, you're not Muslim. Look how bad you feel.
Assalamu alaikum. I was reading a book, and it was referring to light. And it said that light is invisible, but how what we actually see is in terms of solid liquids and gases. And I was just trying to, you know, I was wondering if you could explain something of that nature, because you were saying I'm one of the case that once you could see into the etheric realm of existence, that there's beings that's all around us, but we don't have, we haven't, you know, they have to incarnate for us because we're not able to incarnate them. And I was just wondering if this is why, because...
Just a minute, because you're overweighing yourself for no apparent reason whatsoever. Just turn the Holy Quran to the second chapter. The 255th verse, which is called Ayatul Kursi. And in it, it tells you that you can see life. Allah, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayu qayyum. Allah, nothing would exist, if it wasn't for him, the living power, the living strength. You understand? So the word exist means what?
Be.
That's right. Allah, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayu qayyum. So life can be seen because life exists. And he separated this form of life from himself. So they're not talking about the type of life of Allah. We're talking about the life that Allah brought into existence. And if he brought it into existence, it is perceivable. Okay?
As-salamu alaykum. I would like to address this question to Al-Imam Issa. I would like to know, why is it essential that one must move into the Ansar Allah community in order before the year 2000?
Unfortunately, because the scripture says we have to, because living together with people who have not been groomed to live together is a very difficult task. But in our scriptures, in the books of Revelation, chapter 11, it says, and it was given me a reed, like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the haykal, which is the word temple, of Allah, which is what they have, of course, God. And the altar, and what's the next one?
And them that worship therein.
What's the last two words?
Therein.
You see that? Not outside. People say, well, the temple is in my heart. Yeah, but your heart is inside you, so that can't be saying that. As long as I'm a Muslim in my heart, that's what counts. It doesn't say that. It says, have yourself counted with those who are inside the temple. And what does it say about the court? The word court here in the language is dar. Dar means abode or place of dwelling, or this is a dar you're in. And what does it say next? But the court, which is
without
the temple, those people who are outside of the temple, what about them?
Leave out.
And?
Measure it not.
Why?
For it is given unto the Gentiles.
And what did Jesus call the Gentiles? Snakes, vipers. He told his disciples, don't teach the Gentiles. Don't number them with the righteous. That's why. Not because we like living together, that's for sure. Because we have our hard times. But because the scripture tells us we have to.
Well, one of my questions is, why is black associated with the devil?
We Because the white man, as you know, spent a lot of time doing stuff like this. What's a devil dog? A brown piece of cake. What's devil food cake? Chocolate cake. What's angel cake? White cake. Why? What color suits do the bad guys wear? Black. What color suits do the good guys wear? White. What color suits do the doctors wear? White. What color suits should they wear because they get dirty? Black. I mean, they spend a whole lot of time making black look bad, and that's all part of brainwashing of this Western world. And the first and most important thing is, watch this. Ready? Let's take a Chinaman, correct? The Chinese worship Buddha, right? What nationality is Buddha? The statue of the Buddha is what? Chinese, right? So the Chinese are worshiping a Chinaman. How about the Indians? Krishna. Was Krishna what? An Indian, right? The Indians are worshiping Indians. The Red Indians are worshiping Red Indians. Eskimos are worshiping Eskimos. We're the only ones that worship a white person. Anybody else in the world worships somebody their own color. You understand that? That was a form of brainwashing. And if now, if Jesus is God and God is white, what are you in their doctrine as a people? See, if Jesus was white and he's God, then and we're black, what must we be? We must be the devil. This is subliminal brainwashing to suppress us as a people so we can't see our way to heaven. We can't even construct a mental tower of Babel to get back to the Father because we're God. We're the lowest of the low. We're nothing. We lived in Africa and we was walking around naked and we ate people and one white guy named Tarzan came over and could beat all the animals and beat all the Africans in one fight. This is subliminal brainwashing. It must be uprooted. The white man perpetrated that phoniness about black being ugly and evil.
The question about, I guess about maybe about 2.5 months ago, someone asked the question about shaving. I know I shave because of this job I'm on, and I probably wouldn't have a job if I didn't shave.
Then it's wise to shave if you need your job to survive. Allah does not have compulsory indeed. If that's going to deprive you from supporting your family, you follow?
Yeah.
Then shave. Allah knows that.
Okay, but the question is, why isn't a Muslim supposed to shave? And if, from the answer I got last time, it's a razor is not to be placed upon your head or your face. Then,
that wasn't from us. I don't know who gave you that answer. That ain't one of mine. I mean, because you shave. I use a razor when I shave and trim my beard. I don't know where they got that from.
Okay. That answers that question.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I trim my beard. I keep my beard because the scripture says, do not mow the corners of your head. It tells you to keep a trim from a beard. But it was in my cheek. Out of my cheek, I do shave out the hair there.
I used to be a student of Dr. Ben. I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Yes, and he'll be working in Cairo, and it's going to surprise a lot of people to find out that he's becoming a Muslim. They're going to be quite surprised that he's converting to Islam. He's going to be working at the University in Cairo, right?
You're talking about Dr. Ben Jochanan.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was talking about, Dr. Ben Yohanan.
Yes, the same person.
He's getting ready to become a Muslim. That's a great thing.
Okay, Well, in times gone by, in one of his lectures, he did say that Islam and Christianity was brought onto us by the sword and the gun, and I would like to have a better understanding of that.
Sure. If you ever read the fundamental histories of Islam, you'll find out that before Muhammad left in the year 622 to go over to Medina to set up the community, he was the one being beat up. They didn't spread Islam by a sword. They were being beat by the Meccans and all the tribes who was in Arabia just because they were trying to teach the word of Allah. They wasn't fighting until after they got to the city of Medina and became a strong community, and then they wanted to come back to their own homes in Mecca, and that's when they started engaging in fights and battles with their own tribal members who were trying to suppress the propagation. Muslims didn't set out to war. See, here's a perfect example. The Crusades. Where was it fought? Was it fought in Europe or was it fought in Jerusalem? It was fought in Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
So the Muslims were home, and these people came all the way from Europe over there to fight with them. Yet they say the Muslims spread their religion by the sword, yet the Christians left Europe with swords and came to Jerusalem to fight Salahuddin. The Prophet Muhammad was in Mecca trying to teach the religion of Abraham. The people started beating on them. They stoned them. They put a brick on top of Bilal, radiallahu anhu. You know, they persecuted them. They were pushed out of their houses, left their families, and moved to another city where there was welcome. lived there, then built a strong party of people and came back and took over Mecca. And then they said they spread it by their sword. They never thought about how they were getting beat up in the beginning, like me and you, right? You beat me up every day when I'm little. I leave and go and train myself and come back big, and I hit you back. Oh, he's violent. They forget that you were beating me up all the time. You caused me to go form an army, you see? And that's how they interpret Islam as being spread by the sword. Nobody is more violent than American Christians. But people don't understand when America goes to a country like Vietnam, they're going in the name of Jesus Christ because they're trying to spread Jimmy Swagger over here at the same time they're trying to take the country. Christianity is the most violent religion in the world. Everybody on the news that you see, even wrongly in all of them people, are all Christians. Reverend Sharpton, all Christians. The guys trying to persecute them are all Christians. Christianity is a religion that spreads itself by the sword.
Something, if you look around in here, like in some Christian churches, if you listen to a preacher on the radio, it says, bring all the sick, bring all the old people, the people in wheelchairs and walking with canes and on crutches and all that. And I know we have brothers and sisters out there who are in crutches, wheelchairs and all that. And I don't see any of the brothers that are out there spreading the word of Islam, approaching these people. I don't see any facilities in here for these people. What if these people should have a desire to join into the temple or become Islamic? What are the provisions for them?
We have people who come in here. We had several families who brought children here who were considered crippled and couldn't walk. And after being here for a couple of months, we're walking and playing. We don't put up that we're no healers because that's not what the mission is. The mission is to teach the word of the Most High, not to heal people. However, if people need healing, they can be healed. But that's not, I don't stand up as a faith healer, putting on hands, jumping around and all that kind of stuff. That's a big old act to get people's money. And I'm saying, I'm not into that. I'm into teaching people the truth about Allah, the oneness of Allah. That's it. And if they got faith, their faith will make them whole. Any man, he gonna do this. Jesus said, watch out for people coming like that. They're going to do so many signs and wonders that if it was possible, they'd even fool the elite. You got to be careful of them because it doesn't work like that. Okay? And there is facilities there for people who need it.
My question is about the pictures that I see around and the pictures I see in your books, right? What is the significance of including the pictures with the word?
That's a very good question. The pictures you see on the wall is real important because if we don't do this, he's going to write them off as white. The way he does all other black men's histories, he distorts the pictures and gradually alters the way they look. Next you know, they're real. Everybody's real light skin, the same way they did the Cleopatra movie and the Moses movie. And people now think Charlton Heston is Moses. And they think that Elizabeth Taylor is really what Cleopatra looked like. And so what I did is, and you happen to be a child that was smart enough to pull the pictures out. 99% of them are so afraid to touch the Bible, even in that state, that they'd never do that. And they start looking at those pictures as they read the Bible and really think that Jesus lived in the village and had a beard and looked like a hippie. They start getting that white Anglo-Saxon hippie image in their mind of what God looks like. And being there telling them that Jesus is God, you know what that means? They think they are. When they look in the mirror and see a black face, they think that they see themselves as the opposite of white. So they teach you that white is the opposite of black. Then God is white. Then what must black be? The devil. So what I've done is said, like me or not, I'm going to start putting images of black people in the books regardless of what anybody says so that the children that read it start to see Moses and Jesus and Abraham and Yusuf and all the people of the scriptures in their real shade and color. The men on the wall are put there so people can remember these great men of our history. Because the white man would love for us to just knock Marcus Garvey and Noble Drew Ali and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he'd like to lock them out of our history, but he makes sure me and you remember his history, because if you reached in your pocket and took out a dollar bill, you'd be looking at a part of his history. He made sure we had our face on George and Abraham and Jefferson all day. He makes sure of it. So I'm not going to be fool enough myself to say it's not important to me, I'm saying. When I think a physical impression in the mind is important. What a person thinks things are oftentimes has a way of affecting the way they react to things. I mean, people see a white guy with a beard, and they start, little black kids say, there goes Jesus, mommy, walking to the village. And the mother has to say, no, that's a hippie. And that shouldn't be like that.
It's interesting. It doesn't mean anything, but I agree with you in the sense that there was a certain hypnotic brainwashing that we've all been under as a result of his nonsense, all right?
Spell,
it's
got
to be sort of cleared, removed,
yep.
All right? So by whatever means it has to be removed, I'm all for that, all
good.
Right?
Okay.
The other thing is this. I have absolutely no complaints about Ansarullah, all right? From the first time I walked under his block, all I felt was love from all of your people. When I come into the place, I only feel at home, all right? There's no other place that I've been between New York, Jersey, Connecticut, upstate New York, North Carolina, Florida, Texas, that I felt that way in, all right?
Thank you. That's a compliment.
Now, the other thing is that I want to come in, all right? I don't work for I do my own thing. It's more or less freelance, all right? There's a number of things that I do to take care of my responsibilities, all right? But I don't refer to it that way. I feel that he does certain things through me so that the things that I need are always there.
Assalamu alaikum. I have two questions. The first is concerning how we'll be judged on Judgment Day. My question is, what difference would there be between, say, a grandmother that died 40 years ago versus someone who is on the street, has seen some brothers with the books but never stopped, and also between a person who might come here to class or even live in the community? What difference would there be in their judgments?
A grandmother who was here 40 years ago before the truth hit the shores, right, will be judged by her own, what do you call it, her intentions in life, not by her scriptural law. 99% go to paradise automatically because they're going to be judged by how they believed as Christians, not how they believe now that the truth has come. You follow that?
Yes.
In that which they did, you can tell. If a person is a good, good Christian, because they didn't know Islam, then you know that if they had been Muslim, they would have been good, good Muslims.
So they're judged by their heart.
That's right. Now, a person who walks the street, sees righteousness, knows it's right, and doesn't accept it, is called in the Quran a kafiruna, one who conceals what they know to be true. The translators maliciously translate that as disbeliever. There's no such thing as a disbeliever in the Quran. It's kafirun. From the word kafir, to cover or conceal something. This person in the scripture is classified as like the devil. And the scriptures in Revelation says, will be cast into a lake of fire along with the devil, there to abide forever. So those people who see the truth and stall or maliciously turn away, they will be classified as devils, and their abode will be what you are calling hell. Hell is just an script, a way of describing torment. And the torment one will receive is what they think they should get, because you are your judge. And as gross as you think hell is for what you've done, that's exactly what it'll be. Hell is like your nightmare, your worst nightmare. You create the nightmare you taught to yourself while in the nightmare. So when you know right from wrong and do wrong, whatever you think hell will be, it'll be that and some more besides.
I'm sorry, I was just wondering, if someone just sees, say, a brother on the street, and they see him dressed in white, but they don't know what it's all about. They're totally ignorant to anything that has anything to do with Islam. And they pass by. Would they be considered a kafir because they didn't take the time?
No, they couldn't be. They'd be judged by what they've done. Only once you know the truth, once you've opened the books and read it. That's why the first thing said to Rasulullah Muhammad was iqra, read. Read. First thing Jesus told in the books of Revelation is he sent this book and signified by his angel. And those who read this book, he says in the books of Revelation, you see that? And understand this book. So the thing is, you must read to understand. So those people who do not understand will not be judged as sinners. They'll be judged by their morals, by their own intentions in life.
Okay, so if I'm on the street, or if there's someone that I know personally that I'd like to try to let them know a few things, maybe suggest to them to read, and they just don't want to get into it, what would happen at that point? I mean, is it just over at that point? They're just judged for whatever they...
No. You are... See, what happened is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of all the people in the world, made it possible for you to be in the presence of that person. You understand?
Yes.
So that person is being warned, and they're going to be judged then.
You are the warner. See, that's why it says in the Quran, Muhammad is a witness over you, and you are a witness over each other. Each one of us, once we know the truth, become a witness, a testifier, like Jesus John said, I testify of Jesus Christ. That's what he was talking about. So anybody you try to talk to, Allah sent you to them. And if they turn their back on you, they are classified Kafir, if they don't listen. But remember, you have to be in full sunnah, meaning full example of what righteousness is also. You can't walk up to them in a pantsuit and expect to convert them to a dress. You can't walk up to them with a cigarette in your mouth. You know, like parents tell children, they tell children, don't go in the bathroom and smoke. Smoking is bad for you. Honey, go over there and get my cigarettes off the table. You can't do that. You see what I'm saying? So your example has to be right. And when you approach them with the right example, when you're right, then they turn away, then they'll be judged. But if you approach them and you're not right fully, and they turn away, you're the sinner. Because you brought to them a non-perfected way.
I see. Shukran.
It's a pleasure.
Peace. I got a household situation here. I'm living with a Christian woman, but I believe in the Holy Quran. And our kids, we have four kids, and she teaching them the Christianity lessons too. Being that I'm a Holy Quran believer and she a Christian believer, what will happen in the future with our relation?
The reality of that is, when you say I'm a Holy Quran believer, that doesn't say that you're a Muslim. It just says I'm a Holy Quran believer. And what Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do is to convert people mainly by our example. You follow that? The example that you have in that house as a good person, the tenets that you would introduce in that house, the laws on cleanliness, or not drinking or smoking cigarettes, or your good nature will be more influential. There is no difference between a Christian and a Muslim, really. There is no difference. A Christian is merely saying that God came down to earth as a man, and they call him Jesus. All right? Muslims are saying, no, he did not. He's always been in heaven. Now, when you eliminate those two arguments, okay, you come back to what do Christians believe? They believe that real Christians now, if you're good and good for people, you'll go to a place called heaven. Correct? That good Christians, you shouldn't get drunk, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal. So any of the Christian morals that she is putting into the child is not going to hurt the child. You follow? And the belief of Jesus being Allah in flesh, as the child gets old enough, or the children old enough to understand what they're reading in English, they'll see right through it in the Bible themselves. It don't take much. That's why that room is full of people, because you people in that room are beginning to see that someone told y'all a lie. You see? And you start to look at the Bible a different way and look at the meaning. Don't be all messed up about it and wrecking yourself emotionally about it. Be gentle about it. And you study the Bible. Study the Quran. Study all the scriptures. Respect her for what she believes. You follow what I'm saying? And in time, truth will prevail and false things perish. That's what will happen.
ربنا أكمل لنا نورنا وأكثرنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. This is from the 56th surah of the Holy Quran, the 8th verse. And we also sustain a complete for us our life and forgive us. For surely you have the power over all things.
Present to you once again the true light. As the prophet had said, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. The program presents you with the answer to all the questions from the beginning of time all the way until judgment day. The hourglass is almost empty, so come and hear the dynamic teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Noble Drew Ali, Marcus Garvey, Clarence 13X, and all those who are sent to raise you, the lost but now found deep in the wilderness of North America. Come listen and question the man of the hour, Asher Isa and Hadi Al-Mahdi. Thank you.
شكرا جزيلا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
And now, The True Light, featuring Sheikh Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi.
I have a question as far as one of the teachers of class, Lieutenant Smith. They say that Yaqub grafted physical double grafted and created this physical double, which is a white man, which I know he didn't.
No. Don't do that to yourself. See, remember, Clarence 13X got his teachings from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's lesson. You follow that? And when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaks about Yaqub grafting a devil, it's because Yaqub is an Arabic name for Jacob in the Bible. And Jacob had his name changed to what? Israel in the Bible. You follow that? When they say that Yaqub made the devil, grafted the devil, they're thinking about how there was original black Israelites and how they got involved, like in the case of Esau, he married certain Hittite women. Remember that? And in the case of Jacob's seed, they started, like Judah and them, started marrying tribes of women who were Hittites, like Uri and them, who got certain tribes of the white race mixed in with Israel. And then these people bred from the original black man in there and became known as J-E-W Jew. That is the graftation of the devil. That is the making of the devil. You follow what I'm saying? So when Clarence 13X picked up the lessons of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and proceeded to teach about Yaqub grafting the devil, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about the making of the Jew. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So what he was teaching was right and exact. It's just that after him, people misinterpreted it, exaggerated it, and turned it into some fiction, and it lost its validity. But when he was teaching it, and he was using the six lessons of the Nation of Islam without the addition of plus lessons, which meant men added to it, other guys, and added the plus lessons and started interpreting the teachings, it got all confused. But Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew what he was talking about, and he was right and exact. Okay? That it was truth in it. It's unfortunate that the Sunni Muslims and other groups of people are not trying to see what Honorable Elijah Muhammad was really trying to say. They're busy trying to find fault, and they're not trying to really look into the depth of his meaning. He said he taught allegorically many times. I'm trying to wake up the dead, he kept saying. They want to pretend that it was literal, and everything he said was literal, when he distinctly said it wasn't literal in his teaching. That's because they're trying to defame the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They're trying to defame Clarence 13X. They want to defame, brother, any black leader. You understand what I'm saying? Whether it's Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Clarence 13X, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or Imam Isa, or Warab D. Muhammad, they're going to get him too eventually. When they finish using him, they're going to turn on him. They turn on Farrakhan. They're going to say, if they can't buy us, they kill us. And the first way they kill us is called character assassination. They start making up rumors and lies about our character and breeding this into our congregations. And that's the devil at work. Don't let him do it. You understand? Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the greatest black man to put his feet down in America. And if Clarence 13X stuck close to the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad and went into the world to raise a nation of 5%ers, who he called the poor righteous teachers from the lessons of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then he too was a great man. And we got to respect both of them for what they did. And don't let the devil deceive us. Ain't no man greater than Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You follow us? And maybe the difference between a 5% Nation of Islam was a little renegadeism, it appears, but that was necessary because Clarence 13X was going for a specific group of people. He was trying to get the babies. One of his famous cliches was save the babies. Don't let these people turn you against your own. Please don't. That is the game they use. They make you cowards or assassinators. They make you look for faults in them. You know what I'm saying? Let these men are our leaders, and they have passed on, and they with Allah. Let's find the good in what Clarence 13X did and bring that to the surface. Let's find the good in what Malcolm X did and bring that to the surface. Let's find the good what Sheikh Daoud did and bring that to the surface. Let's find the good what Elvis Ocampos did and bring that to the surface. And I can't even say that about Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because I can't say let's find the good in him, because everything he did was good. And anybody who don't want to bear witness to it, that's your business. Not you per se. I'm talking about all them stupid knucklehead Sunnis who want to say things about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad of Crown 13X ain't nothing but a bunch of fools. And them devils whose crumbs they're eating off the table are going to stab them in the back. Them same white boys that they following in Saudi Arabia, just like they just did to where of D. Muhammad. By whose standards? By some crazy nap or some nap brain chump from Saudi Arabia don't know whether he's a male or a female? And he's going to come and try to tell what we should do in the Lord's found nation among the tribes of Shabab, the Nubian nation. He can tell us how we should think and what we should think of our leaders and how we should judge our leaders and who we should exalt and who we should slander. That's that the white man from Arabia will come and try to tell me and you this, and they're the same ones that sold you into slavery. That is slave trade. Come on, man. Y'all think we are. Can a Muslim be fooled? Better believe it. You ain't fooling us no more. And you will not pull our leaders down any longer. They may have ran out to Tucson, Arizona and killed that Egyptian brother with Shah Khalifa, but if they come against the Nubian nation, they better come right.
Now the original Tent of Kedar is introducing a brand new Mahdi collection of beauty and healthcare products. You must come home to your own, where you'll find a full line of products for the righteous who want to look good and stay healthy too. Try our pure soaps, skin creams, hair pomades, toothpaste, and shampoos, which contain all natural ingredients.
I would just like to have everybody in there acknowledge the death of a Muslim by the name of Rashad Khalifa that had a mosque out in Tucson, Arizona, and that it's important that when a Muslim dies, and I say that because, of course, the Sunni Muslims say he's not a Muslim, because anybody who doesn't go along with their doctrine is not a Muslim, but this brother translated the Quran. He was an Egyptian professor, and he perfected information on the number 19, proving that the Quran has a code in it. And maybe y'all might not know about it. You know, some of y'all who know who he is because I've been telling you about him for years. But those Sunnis managed to assassinate him last week. They stabbed him multiple times in his mosque in Tucson, Arizona. This is the work of that same group that I've been telling y'all about, that are out to stop all black leadership for anybody from coming up teaching anything other than what is sanctioned through Saudi Arabia. And these people are the demons out here doing this. And the Quran in the fourth chapter and the 93rd verse, the 94th verse, and the 95th verse tells us that Muslims are not supposed to kill Muslims or anybody for that matter. But of course, these men take it upon themselves, these human beings, to say that this man, Dr. Rashad Khalifa, is not a Muslim, so they can justify killing him. And every man has a right to his opinion. You follow? I'm saying it because it bothers me, these Negroes that work for these people, while these people are going out doing things like that. Because when they do things like that, what they're saying is that Allah is not capable. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to remove people if they do wrong. Not the knife of no mortal who says he's doing it in the name of Allah. You understand what I'm trying to say? Some Sunni Muslims say it's good that he died because he was kufr. Because he said he was a messenger. And the last prophet, of course, and messenger to them is the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they say, so it's good that this man was assassinated. I think that is a very evil thing to say about anybody who gets killed. Any man who rejects himself to the point where he says it's good for another man to get murdered by multiple stab wounds has reduced himself to being a devil. I don't care whether he's the enemy. You still should be concerned about his family, his wife, his children, his mother, his father, and how they would feel at his death. Even if you say he went against what you teach, and therefore you took Allah's laws in your own hands to kill him, like Allah can't do it. Even if you think you have the power to do that, if you become the angel of death for what you, for some traditions of men, it's still wrong not to consider the man. Because if what he's saying, if what Rashad Khalifa was saying was so wrong, then time would have proved him wrong. Am I right?
Right.
Time would have proved it wrong, and no man should have stepped in and interfered with Allah's work. Because if Allah would have done it, it would have looked more divine than a bunch of stab wounds in the body of a man in a kitchen on the floor in Tucson, Arizona. And then they're going to turn around and say that that's the work of Allah. You're trying to say Allah has a hand and a knife, or he needs you to kill somebody for him? So it bothers me that these people are going about doing this. Our organization got stabbed, incorporated into that new movement of those Sunni Muslims. And brothers are sitting in their mosque with them, nodding and cheering on as if this is a great thing that has happened, the taking of a human being's life, and making it look like Allah doesn't do his own work. And one of the main reasons they say is because he claimed to be a messenger. That's why Allah took him out, they say. But yet the Honorable Elijah Muhammad lived to old age. So what are they saying then? That everything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught must have been right and exact. Must have been, if Allah took off Dr. Rashad Khalifa because he claimed to be a messenger. If that's why Allah took him off, then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who also was claimed a messenger, and also claimed Allah appeared to him in the personage, died of old age. So why didn't Allah take him out? You understand what I'm trying to say? But these human beings who are possessed by these jinns are going about doing the devil's work. You follow that? And they stopped a great man, Dr. Rashad Khalifa. Whether he called himself a messenger or not is not my concern, because I am not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and neither is none of them. The Quran in that chapter, the fourth chapter, verses 94, tells a Muslim, anyone who says to you, as-salam, is a Muslim or a faithful or a believer, as you have it, and that you should not say they're not. Now tell them Sunnis to go read that. Then it says that you should not kill anybody in chapter 4, verse 93, that is a faithful person or a believer. Now what deciphers a believer? Nowhere in any Quran does it say that one of the criteria for a Muslim faith is that he believes that Muhammad is the last prophet of Allah. That's not one of the tenets of Islam. Nowhere does it say that. We do know that Muhammad was the last prophet of Allah, but nowhere does it say that that's one of the tenets of our belief. The tenet of our belief is to believe that he is Rasulullah, that he is Nabi Allah, that he is an apostle of Allah, one of many. And the Quran reiterates that over and over, that he is one of Allah's prophets, one of his apostles. You follow that? So it's not one of the tenets of our belief to believe that he's the seal of the prophet. Though we do believe that he's the seal of the prophet, because the Quran says so in the 33rd chapter, nowhere does it say that that is a tenet of our faith to decipher what is a Muslim and what isn't. What deciphers, according to the Quran and Surah Al-Baqarah, what a Muslim is and what isn't, is that we have aman tu billahi, faith in Allah as he is, wa malaikatihi, in all of his angels, wa kutubihi, in all of his scriptures, wa rusulihi, and in all of his apostles, of which Muhammad is one of them. For these things, these tenets, this man, Dr. Rashad Khalifa, did believe in. He believed in Allah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, as alone. He believed that Muhammad was Rasulullah and Nabi Allah. He believed these things. He said it. He believed in all of the angels of Allah. He believed in all of the scriptures of Allah. Thus, according to the Quran, he was a believer or a faithful person. So he may have deviated from your hadith and your tradition, as you say, and had an unorthodox approach towards teaching Islam. The fundamentals of what he taught was Islam.
the fundamentals of it, the belief in Allah, his angel, his scriptures, and his prophets. So he was a believer. Does this mean that any man who accepts Allah, who doesn't do it the way we want him to do it, when we want him to do it, is not a believer? What man on earth has a right to make that decision? What sheikh? What imam? What mufti? Who is the man on earth that has a right to make that decision? Only Allah is the judge. It says in the Quran, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Allah is the ruler of the day of judgment. And when people came to Nabi Muhammad with different faiths or different religions, Allah Ta'ala gave him Suratul Kafirun. He didn't tell him go kill anybody. He said only kill those who try to kill you. In the Quran, that's what it says. Dr. Rashad Khalifa never tried to kill nobody. He didn't raise no war against them. But how Rasulullah answered them was, Lakum dinukum waliyadin. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. He said, you'll find out on judgment day who's right. So you be your deen and me be mine. We'll find out. That's what a Muslim does. Muslim doesn't go out setting out to kill people for what's right. Because we believe that Allah has everything. We believe everything is in his hands. Kulli shay'in fi yadillah. And no mortal is Allah's hand. So no mortal can pick up a knife or a gun and strike another man down because he is different in his interpretation of a scripture that none of y'all understand, because none of y'all have read it, because it's in the original Arabic without vowels and dots. So none of us, even Arabs who speak the language, have ever really read the Quran in the proper language anyway. We only got what men wrote down from their memory. And you kill people on those grounds. Take a man's life. The Quran says that you're going to hell for that. The assassin of Dr. Rashad Khalifa, who think they're doing the right thing, you're going to hell for that. Because Allah is the taker of life. Allah is the giver of life. You don't have the right to kill anybody, Allah says, who does not try to kill you. Tells us in Islam, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was forbidden to even fight against people until Allah gave him a commandment and said, you can now go and fight them because they're trying to kill you. That was the reason why Rasulullah was allowed to go out and fight and defend al-Islam with jihad. Only because people were trying to fight him. Dr. Rashad Khalifa was not fighting you. Are you telling me that the pen is mightier than the sword? With all you scholars around the world, not one Arabic-speaking scholar has come out against Dr. Rashad Khalifa. Pakistanian, a Jamaican named Bilal Phillips, different men, but no man whose native tongue was Arabic has come out to prove the number 19 wrong. Only converts. Why didn't the Arabs do it? And again, you're talking mathematics, children. If he's calculating numbers wrong, won't we get to the end and the final equal will be wrong? When we finish adding it up, when we get to the last number, won't it be wrong if it's wrong? So if everything he's saying is wrong, when he says he's a messenger, I don't believe he was a messenger, but if he believes it and we stand by the Quran, won't the Quran prove him wrong if he's lying? If everything he says about the number 19 in the Quran is wrong, won't the Quran prove him wrong if he's lying? Because the Quran is al-haq. And every time we finish reading something from the Quran, we say, Sadaqa Allah al-Azim. And that Sadaqa is trust, truth. And it's supreme, al-Azim. Don't we believe that the Quran has the power to bring down lies and falsehood? What happened to our faith in Allah? When we got to go out and kill a man because he says things different than we believe. The same thing they did with Salman Rushdie. Salman Rushdie has a right to write anything he feels like writing. Anything. Regardless of how much we as people who believe in the Quran, Quran India, disagree with what he writes, he still has the right to write it. And the only thing we can do is say what the Quran says. Bring and show me the proof. The Burhana. Show me the proof if what you're saying is true. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come out with the truth and let the truth, what? Truth come and false things vanish. We're not supposed to kill people. You killed the man because you was afraid of him. You killed the man because things he said was true. It shook you. That's why you killed the man. You killed the man because you are Dajjal. You Sunni Muslim. And I'm not talking to every Sunni Muslim. I'm talking about those Sunni Muslims who fall under that Wahhabi sect that are coming out of Saudi Arabia with this new Muslim World League thing and think they have a monopoly on what Allah said to Muhammad 1400 years ago. Those are our Dajjal that Rasulullah said in his hadith, my followers are going to go over and work for Dajjal, the Antichrist. And he's pointed to the east repeatedly. When they asked him where would Dajjal come, he turned and pointed eastward and kept repeating it over and over and eastward, 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 eastward. Egypt is not eastward of Mecca. America is not eastward of Mecca. Or Medina. Or Jeddah. He was telling them that this Dajjal is going to come right out of here. Saudi. And today they are spreading this false doctrine around the world, calling it Sunni Islam. They don't want to read the Quran, they want to read Hadith. They give whole lectures on Hadith, on traditions and customs of men, and they won't go near the word of Allah. They run off, they quote a word from Allah, from the Quran, and they jump on a whole series of Hadith, and what this man said, and what this person said, and what this one did, and they won't stay near the words of Allah. That's how you know they're not on the Surat al-Mustaqim. Anybody on the Surat al-Mustaqim, the most important thing in their life is the Quran, Torah, Injil, Uhud, the war, etc. You follow what I'm saying? So I'm saying that it's a sad thing that these people can come to America and kill a man. They have no foundation to justify it. The truth should kill a lie, not you. You killed that man because y'all was afraid of him. Because he was shaking the weak foundation that y'all are trying to establish in this country. The new mafia type Islam. That's why they killed him. And the thing we want to make clear is that I'm not Dr. Rashad Khalifa. I'm not Dr. Rashad Khalifa. I hold many of the same beliefs he did, but I'm not him. And if you come here, you're gonna come, you better come right or you're gonna meet your maker.
Right.
Because we ain't playing with you fools. Y'all are not going to intimidate us the same way you didn't intimidate the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You're
right.
Not going to intimidate the Ansar. You're not going to threaten us. You're not going to scare us. We're going to still say truth is
truth.
Y'all better learn to live with that reality. And if you come, you better come right.
Right.
Because this is America. This ain't Saudi Arabia. This ain't Morocco. This ain't Egypt. This ain't even Sudan. This is the U.S. of A. Well, we have the right to say anything we feel like in this law. You people are the ones who lay down your customs to come over and try to be American. You the suit and tie wearing fools. Cut off your beard. And then you're going to come over and try to do Arab things in an American country. You follow what I'm saying? I'm telling y'all, Sunnis following these devils who are out killing people in the name of Allah when that's haram. But y'all better be careful. Because when they finish using you, they're going to wipe you out. If you come here wrong, playing with you. You can play crazy savior thinking you're going to save the whole Arab world by trying to stop our teaching. You come wrong and them stupid people are going to forget about you because I ain't no chump. I'm going to take your head out.
Right.
You got me mixed up with Bashar Khalifa. You play that crazy Arab stuff with me, I'm going to cut you in half. I'm not the kind you think I am. You can't walk up and shake my hand. I'm not your friend. I didn't come here to be your friend. I'm a friend of the lost found. I'm a friend of the Nubians in the world. I ain't your friend. I ain't interested in you red Arabs or you pale Arabs. I'm not interested in y'all. Unless y'all want to bear witness to the total truth and nothing but the truth, unadulterated. Unless you're going to bear witness to the laws alone that have no partners and that Muhammad is just one of his a prophets. One of his, but not his only and the best. No, but the rhetoric that y'all wrote and stop telling people that he's white. And when you start bearing witness to the truth that there is no color in Islam and stop saying there's no color and then turn around and say Muhammad's white in the hadith. When y'all get to that point, then we'll start talking. Before that point, It's sad. And what's real interesting is that Dr. Rashad Khalifa used to put out a periodical called The Middle Perspective. And his February 1990 article, the front page starts, righteous do not really die. They go straight to heaven. When we spoke on the phone to some of his people after the assassination, they said he knew that these people were going to try to kill him. He said he knew that's what they said. They said he kept telling his followers, these people are going to try to kill me. They want to kill anybody who does not go along with fundamental Islam. Now you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to defame Waris D. Muhammad also now. There's a newspaper that came out called Majlis. And in this magazine, they're saying that Waris D. Muhammad is not really a Muslim because he still holds his father's teaching. I'm going to make the article available. You know, everything I get my hands on, I make available to y'all. I try to. So you can see it yourself. You don't think I'm making it up. He's saying that now after all the labor that Waris D. Muhammad did trying to bring the people, according to his teachings, from racism of his father over to a more mainstream type of Islam, now he's finished helping them. You know what they're doing to him? Turning on him. Now they're saying he's not a Muslim. You know why? Because they say Elijah Muhammad was a pagan because he believed that Farad was Allah and thus a kufr. This is what they got in the paper. And therefore, if Waris D. Muhammad does not denounce his father, then he is also a kufr. You know what I have to say about that? The Prophet Muhammad's father, according to Sunni doctrine, was a kufr. The Prophet Muhammad's father was a pagan, Abdullah. If you Sunni see that Muhammad brought Tawhid, and Muhammad is the one responsible for tearing down the idols in the Kaaba, if Muhammad was the one who brought Islam, that's what you see people teach. Not what we teach, but it's what you Sunni teach. So before Muhammad, was his father Abdullah a Muslim or not? According to y'all, he was not a Muslim. He was a pagan. Yet at a certain meeting where Rasulullah had written at the bottom of a letter, Muhammad Rasulullah, and the tribes didn't want to agree with him, he scratched out Muhammad Rasulullah, and he wrote down Muhammad Ibn Abdullah. Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Don't ask Waris D. Muhammad to denounce his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when you did not ask Rasulullah to denounce his father, Abdullah. They have two standards. They have what they tell other people to do or what they don't do. So now they want Waris D. Muhammad to badmouth and denounce the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But they, on the other hand, recognize, they say, the Prophet Muhammad's father, Abdullah, his mother, Amina. And they make them sound like they were not idol worshippers, according to Sunni teachings, mind you, not Ansar teachings. Are you all with me? You understand what I'm saying? This is now they're going to turn on him. They revised the Yusuf Ali Quran, but now they're making Ahmed Didat look stupid. Because his biggest argument was about the revision of the Bible, how Christians use the revised Bible. So this revised version Quran, mind you, listen to that. So now everything Ahmed Didat travels around talking makes him look stupid. See, they're slowly but surely eliminating the people that they use to help them. But they don't need them because they're not a part of the devil's seed. You understand what I'm saying? These people are very wicked. And the truth is going to pull them down. I just want to add that for Dr. Rashad Khalifa, or the late Dr. Rashad Khalifa, if he is with Allah, because people who die in the path of Allah don't really die. You follow me? That his soul is with Allah. And these people are out killing people and saying they're doing it in the name of Allah. Hell is where you're going. And I feel sorry for the American blacks because I spent most of my life here in America from Sudan here. And I thought you had a better soul than that. I didn't think you're some fanatic can have you out on the street killing people for them. I didn't know you'd become a pet to the same people that sold you into slavery. Don't forget the word Arab slave trade. These people who you are following in Saudi Arabia, the ones that sold you into slavery, the Arab slave traders. Now they got you out doing their dirty work, sending out hitmen in this country in America to try to kill people for them. Allah is Ar-Rahman. Allah is Ar-Rahim. Allah is Al-Ghafur. How do you people know
How do you people know that Dr. Rashad Khalifa was not going to drop all of his ideas that night and bear witness to what you teach? How do you know?
Why?
And you killed him and didn't give him a chance. How do you know that you didn't kill the Messiah? How do you know that Dr. Rashad Khalifa wasn't really the Messiah? You didn't give him a chance to prove his point. You killed him. That's how I know y'all are the devil. Because if you were righteous, you'd sit back in truth and you'd watch the lie manifest itself. The devil will try to kill the truth before it grows. But they'll try to stop me, Farrakhan, and anybody like us who don't say what they want. And that is what's so, so very sad about this situation. And I don't know what to say other than you people better realize and tell your friends and your brothers and sisters that when they come in contact with those Sunni Muslims, they better realize they're dealing with people that have sold their soul to the devil. And they need to be helped. They may be mad and have their lips poked out, but them brothers need help. Because them people they're working with are working for the devil. And they think they're going to stop the Nubian nation and the growth of this nation? They're fools. They will not stop the growth of the Nubian nation. We are here. Y'all going to have to live with us. And we're going to keep pointing out your faults. If they come against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, they better come right, because we're coming out to his aid. We're coming out to the aid of any black nation, any black man, you stupid Arabs and you stupid Sunnis that follow them try to hurt. You better believe we're coming out after you. You understand? Because we know the plot. We recognize the plot now, devil. Oh, yeah, devil. We see the plot now. The plot is to eliminate the black leadership, to make everybody lily white. You put that white Jesus on us for 2,000 years, home. Now we know that his feet was like burnt brass and his eyes were like flames of fire and he had the voice of many waters. That sounds like a black brother with a white afro and a raspy voice to me. You understand what I'm saying? And I know they don't like this. Now you try to make the Prophet Muhammad white. And you know he was of Sudanese descent. You know he had nappy hair. You know how you know it? Because in your hadith you say that Aisha used to braid his hair. You can't braid white people's hair. It don't stay braided. And they didn't have rubber bands back then to put on the ends of it. If he was braiding his hair was kinky or curly. But his hair on sure wasn't flanked and straight. You understand what I'm saying? Plus he lived in a climate where it's 100 and some odd degrees, 75% of the year. Even if he was an Arab, he'd be one of the darker ones. He didn't have shaded buildings like you have today. And air conditioned. He was walking around out in the desert. Come on. Are we talking truth or what?
Right.
You will not turn us against our leadership. Not no more.
Right.
They tried to turn us against Sharpton. You remember that?
Right.
Oh, Sharpton is a CIA. Sharpton works for the government. What were we supposed to do, devil? We supposed to come out and crucify one of our brothers for you? That's what you wanted, devil? Well, it didn't work.
Right.
It won't work no more. Because we realized when Malcolm X was killed that we lost a great brother. And we all marvel at what he might have been doing today if he was still alive. But y'all devils knew that. You devils, y'all knew how bad he was. And y'all knew that he wasn't nothing without a man with a third-grade education. And that man with that third-grade education was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who taught Malcolm X, who was a criminal, drug pusher, prostitute running. I'm telling the truth. Is this true or is this
true?
And had him out there talking to multitudes of black people that I was in Harlem looking at him many times, standing up there telling them what they should have. He got all this from a man with a third-grade education. Mr. White Man, you can't fool us no more. You will not bury the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want every one of you people in there, right in that room, when you get a picture of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, put it up.
That's right.
Put it in your house. Put it on your little pendant. Put it on your kid's school book. And when the white man say, who is that? Say, that's the greatest man that ever lived. And let them live with that. Now people say, oh, Imam Isa uses this as a ploy to draw the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's followers. Imam Isa already has millions of followers all over the world. I don't need to draw anybody else's followers. But I will not let you character assassinate another one of our great leaders because you don't see him as a messenger. That's your problem. I do. Because you don't understand what he meant by Allah came to him in the personage. That's your problem. I do. You understand? Because the black man is God. And you white folks know it. When y'all go to Egypt and y'all walk up and down the Nile and y'all see big statues of Ramses, Ramses is black. You know what y'all say? Those are statues of Egyptian gods. Then you come back to America and say, black man can't be God. While you in Egypt, looking at those statues are what color people, y'all?
Black.
Say that again.
Black.
So now when they go on their little Egyptian excursion and they travel down Luxor and they look at the Nile and they see big statues of brothers with big old lips. One of our serious trademarks. That's why they're getting silicone in their lips now trying to get some lips. And they look up and they see this big, tremendous statue. And they say, that was what? That was an ancient Egyptian god. Ain't that what they say?
Right.
Am I right or not?
Right.
They say, that was an ancient Egyptian god. Show me one spot on the planet anywhere where you white folks built a pyramid.
Right.
We built the White House. I don't know if a lot of black people know that. A black man built the White House.
Right.
Another great black brother who they're trying to bury pointed that out to us. You know what his name was? Noble Drew Ali. Because the brother Noble Drew Ali was speaking to us. I know every time I talk to y'all, I say something new. And I hope y'all understand my job because it's taxing. The brother Noble Drew Ali was telling us that we were Moorish Americans. Yes? Was he not? That we came from Morocco. Did he not? If you ask the black Moroccans, who they're descendants of, you know what they say? They say they're descendants of Bilal. Now, you Sunnis have already told us Bilal was black. Don't take it back now. There's something good is coming out of it. Because they'll try to take it back now and say Bilal was black, but he was a little light skin. Next thing you know, he'll be white. Now, y'all said he was black, and his descendants are in Morocco? Let me get something straight here. Right now, don't let them be restricting black people to one place. But they don't do that to themselves in Europe. What are you, Polish? What are you, Scottish? What are you, Irish? What are you, Swedish? What are you, British? Where are you from? Europe. But when it comes to you and I can't look at the Moorish Science Temple and say, those brothers who want to identify with Morocco, Moroccans are black people. The word Morocco, from the Latin word, morena, means dark. Not just negra. The word negra in Spanish is one thing. There's another word, morena, which also means black, where they get the word Moor from. And it wasn't talking about no building. It was talking about the folks. So those descendants in Morocco, Moorish Americans, we are also. Don't be afraid when you talk to brothers on the Moorish Science. They will say, yeah, we're Moorish Americans. We ain't them. And what did Noble Drew Ali say? Don't call me no Negro. Don't call me no colored man. Don't call me no folk. Don't even call me a black man. Call me a Moorish American. And tell them that I came from Morocco. I don't have no fault with that. Wait a minute. Mr. Devil, you're not going to turn me against my brothers. Because I see the truth in everything every one of them say. And we are from Morocco. I've been to Morocco, and 75% of the people in Morocco are black. Even the king of Morocco himself, King Hussein, on national television, announced that he was black and shocked the country. He said on national television, some of our sons were over there in Morocco at the university studying at the time. They called and said, you know what he just said? He's black. And the Moroccans freaked out because he looked Latino. So they said he ain't black. And so they don't know that Latinos are black. And let me add another very important element here. I long for the day when I don't have to say black no more, when I can just say Nubian. So we're pushing Nubian Nation. Nubian Nation. Nubian Nation. Come on.
Come on, y'all.
Nubian Nation. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are we? You're going to have to deal with us. We're the tribe of Shabazz. We're the Moroccans. We're Moorish. We're Nubians, Islamic Hebrews. We're the black Israelites. We're the black. We are it all, Junior. Because we are the original black man. The Asiatic black man.
We are the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth. We are not civilized, y'all. Oh, no, we're not civilized. We have never been a beast. We have never lived in the cave. We never ate raw flesh. We never crawled around on all fours. Never were we in that state of mind. We are the civilizers.
Right.
The black man is the civilizer. He is the god of the planet Earth.
That's right.
He was created to till the soil. That's what Allah created you to do, Adam. He created you of the black mud and made you his Khalifa bil Ard, his vice regent, as they translate it, or his successor on the earth. If you succeed somebody, you must be of somebody, you see. If you call a person your Khalifa, that means he is your successor. So if man, Adam, is Allah's successor, then man, Adam, must be of who? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right?
Right.
If we are your successor, then we are of you. Then we are your children, Allah. And you are our father, our beloved father. That's why Jesus told those fake Jews, you are of your father, the devil.
Right.
But Jesus, a black man, with, like they say in the Bible, in Daniel's and Revelation, hair like lamb's wool. Show me a white person with hair like lamb's wool. Now, there's a such thing as a goat. And Jesus separated the goat from the sheep. He said, the goat is evil and the sheep is good. Right? Now, white folks got hair like a goat. But Jesus had hair like a... They called him the Lamb of Allah. Do you understand me?
Right.
Devil, we know who you are. And we know who your helpers are, them old colored Negroes. All colored up with the word Sunni. Walking around teaching Muhammad's wife, trying to be Arabian. Y'all are not Arabian. Y'all are Asiatic black men. Y'all are the original Arabs. Like I said before, you're the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth. White man, no. When you know what they mean by the creed, everybody else came out of you.
Yes, I didn't get into the class until late. I understand it was a brother by the name of Rashad Khalifa, brother who broke down at number 19. I understand he was assassinated or killed. I was wondering if you can elaborate on it a little more.
His brother, Imam Rashad Khalifa. A soul that came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been removed by the hands of Satan as a part of the plot to prevent the spread of the truth that Allah is alone and has no partners. His favorite declaration on his periodicals and writings was, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. And that is that he bore witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that Allah was alone and had no part. And those that hated him wanted to remove this very crucial point of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Those that wanted to remove him accused him of being a blasphemer. They accused him of breaking one of the tenets of faith. They said that he claimed to be a messenger or a prophet, and that in al-Islam, Mustafa Muhammad Alameen, alayhi salatu wa salam, was the seal of the prophet. Thus, they say, because he made this declaration, he was a blasphemer, and that he should be dead. No. There is not one tenet of faith. There is not one obligation in any of the scriptures of Allah. No. Not in the Quran, not in the Torah, not in the Injil, not in the Zabor, not in the Sahur, not even in the Hadith. Nowhere does it teach us that one of the tenets of our faith, one of the obligations of our beliefs, one of the things that makes us Muslim is the acknowledgement that Rasulullah Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was the seal of the Prophet. No. Even the Sunnis make the declaration of Kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And they say it means there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of God, or Muhammad is God's messenger, but they don't say that he is Khatam India in that declaration. No, it doesn't say that one of the beliefs of a Muslim is that he must say there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his last prophet and messenger. That is not one of the tenets of Islam. That is not in the Quran. And anyone that endorses the death of a mu'min, a faithful person, a believer, on false tenets has truly gone astray. And any man that can entice you or a group of people from any country or culture that it is right to kill a man because he made a declaration that is not required of a Muslim in Islam is nothing but the devil at work. The Ansar Allah feel very sad about the death of this great man. We mourn him. And if they say that Allah removed Dr. Hisham Khalifa because he claimed to be a messenger of Allah and everything he taught was a lie and that's why Allah killed him, then the fact that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad lived to old age means that everything he taught was right and exact. If that's the case, where Allah removes men by using other human beings' hands, let me make this very clear. I am not talking to all men who call themselves Sunniin. Now notice I said Sunniin and not Sunni. Because in the Arabic language, you would say Sunniin. Throughout the Hadith that they read and the Quran, wherever the word Sunnah is mentioned, it is written with a tar mabuta at the end. My Sunnah would thus be Sunnati. His Sunnah will be Sunnatahu. And a group of people who follow that would be Sunniin, not Sunni, a non-Arabic word, a grafted Farsi word into the language. I am not talking to all of the people who call themselves people following the Sunnah or Ahl al-Sunnah. I'm talking to those people who are out there killing people, who are out there slandering. I'm not talking to most of the young Muslim groups who are aspiring to serve Allah and obey his prophet, Muhammad. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to the people that's trying to turn the prophet Muhammad into a god. I'm talking to those people that are trying to pull down the glory of Allah and replace it with a man. And if you are not in that group, then I'm not directing these leaflets or these pamphlets or these books at you. These books are only geared at people who do find partners with Allah, the Mushrikeena, and call themselves Sunni Muslims or Orthodox Muslims. I want to set that record straight. So I think we should all be saddened by the works of Satan in our midst. This is America. In America, we have freedom of speech and freedom of the press. This is not Saudi Arabia, where y'all are afraid to let Christian evangelists in there. But y'all spread the world gossiping about Christianity and backbiting Christian preachers, but you won't let Christians come into Saudi Arabia to debate or into Kuwait to debate. This is the U.S. of A., America, where people have the right to say what they feel. That Muslim brother, Dr. Rashad Khalifa, had the right to say what he believes. He's entitled to his own opinion, entitled to his own interpretation. He's entitled to translate the Quran any way he feels like. That is his business. And no mortal or man can tell him he can. And if Allah didn't like it, then Allah would take care of that. Not the hands of a knife. Allah does not use knives to remove people. And he doesn't use your hands to do it. Whoever did that is guilty of killing someone. And the Quran, as well as the Torah, tells you, thou shalt not kill. The Quran says, you should not kill a Muslim. What's the sense of judgment in hell if you're going to take Allah's judgment into your own hands? Anything which Allah created are his creatures, and he is responsible for that. You people are murderers, and you will end up in hell on judgment day, on Yom Akhri, Yom Deen, Yom Qiyamah. You'll meet your maker. Or you can come out against the Ansars unprepared, and you'll meet your maker sooner than you suspect. Now I want to do the tradition of the Muslim, and that is that when a Muslim is murdered or killed or died, it is customary for a Muslim to have 7 takbirs. 7 takbirs. Which means they say, Allah is most magnificent 7 times. One for each of the 7 heavens. Allahu Akbar. 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 Then they follow it with Surah Al-Fatiha. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين صدق الله العظيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
Visit the original tent of Kedar, where we have available for you a vast selection of books, prayer beads, prayer rugs, Blacks in Arabic, Quran, the Old and New Testaments of the Bible in Arabic. Also, we have multiple pamphlets and leaflets on the truth, posters and portraits which display the prophets as they really were, Nubians. Now available, a full-color illustration of the Last Supper, the real Last Supper, portraying the Messiah Jesus and his disciples as they really appeared, as black men, Nubians. The original Tent of Kedar is located at 717 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Or call us at 718-452-9329. Now the original Tent of Kedar is introducing a brand new Mackie collection of beauty and healthcare products. You must come home to your own, where you'll find a full line of products for the righteous who want to look good and stay healthy too. Try our pure soaps, skin creams, hair pomades, toothpaste, and shampoos, which contain all natural ingredients.
Mirror. ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم.
Radio!